Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Dion, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking a question.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hello and welcome in. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Chris Kleinhahn-Schultz, and we are ready once again for Lansing Lugnuts baseball, because today it's the Lansing Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels in game number 3 of a 6-game series. Chris, hello and welcome back to a place you know very well, Veterans Memorial Stadium.
And through the various field name changes, yes, Veterans Memorial Stadium looks about as good as it always has. It's a little different having spent so many years next door in the home radio booth to be back in the visiting side for the first time in a decade. But this is one of the better broadcast vantage points that we have in baseball. It's certainly a great opportunity for us on some beautiful weather that we have before us today as well to talk about some Lugnuts and Colonels baseball.
Let me quickly say this. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Lansing Lugnuts and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. Now then, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, he's Chris Kleinhahn-Schultz. Adam Jackson will rejoin me when this road trip comes to an end, but that's next week. Chris first joined me when the Lugnuts were taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits in Davenport, Iowa on Sunday. What you saw was an outstanding Lugnuts performance, and that helped split that series. Well, Chris, in the first two games of this series, what we have seen is why the Cedar Rapids Colonels are the best team in the Western Division this year.
And the Colonels have traditionally been one of the better teams in this division since the Colonels became affiliated with the Minnesota Twins. Every season since changing from the Angels to the Twins, the Colonels have made it into the postseason. And several championship series appearances along the way within this stretch as well, though the Colonels haven't had a title since 1994. There's still been a lot of good teams through here. Certainly a lot of good Twins prospects, those that made either the Twins big league club or other big league teams. There's just so much talent here today and has been pretty much on a consistent basis the last decade plus. So we know we're going to see some good performances and some good individuals from these homestanding men of corn here today.
So from the men of corn, let me ask you, 2023, this version of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, what makes them so difficult?
Offensively, they're a good team, and I think they play to this ballpark a little bit because traditionally, this incarnation of Veterans Memorial Stadium is a favorable ballpark if you can get the ball in the air. There have been times where maybe the run scoring is slightly above or slightly below average, but on a consistent basis, you tend to get more home runs per game in this ballpark than just about anywhere else in the league. And with some of the power bats that the Colonels have had over the years, and certainly as you've seen over the previous couple of days, Jesse, yes, what they have on this team, that if you can get the ball skyward and the wind isn't a hindrance, you're going to have an opportunity to clear some bases, get some runs on the board, and build something for your pitching.
Now let me ask you about the Lugnuts, whom you saw this all last week in Davenport. What were your impressions of this Lansing Lugnuts team in 2023?
Well, among the other things I was impressed with, Danny Bautista Jr. had a very good series. And what Bautista was able to do, specifically when we were together, he had a big home run in that contest, a Bautista bomb, if you will.
Yes, coined by you, sir. Full credit.
I mean, you got to get the WWE references in there when you can.
He's a fan, too.
You know, and Bautista, among so many other bats, I know Junior Perez so far this series has done well with home runs in each of the first two games. There's some pop in that top of the order. And certainly some good pitching, both in terms of starting and relieving, that I recall seeing, not just for the broadcast we had together, but just for the entire week, being there and covering games in various capacities. The biggest thing I see going into this game, among other things, being able to get the bottom of the order provides some help, especially if the table's been set for them. And certainly, as was the case in one of the games I was on air for last week, seeing what you get out of Jake Owen, who has primarily been a reliever, but gets another chance in a starting role to pitch for the Lugnuts here tonight.
That's right. It's Owen on the mound for the Lugnuts, taking on Kyle Jones for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. It's funny you mentioned Danny Bautista Jr., because coming up next on this pregame show, you'll hear from the reigning Midwest League Player of the Week. This is Lugnuts Baseball.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit Adopt U.S. Kids. Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're... A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Joined by the reigning Midwest League Player of the Week, Danny Bautista Jr., I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. What does that honor mean to you?
It means everything, you know. I want to thank God, first and foremost, and, you know, just the guys around here, the coaches have been pushing me every single week, week in, week out. And, yeah, you know, put a couple of bats together, and, yeah.
What does that reflect on the work that you've put in and where you are right now as compared to, let's take you back to April?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's been a huge jump, you know. Just progressively I've been getting better and better, you know. I've been working in the cage, you know, doing a lot of drills and then trying to find a routine in the cage that'll really help me. And I feel like, you know, I've established a steady one at the moment, and yeah, just going out there having fun.
Was last year a little bit like this in terms of where you are in April compared to where you were by the end of the year in Stockton?
I want to say, yeah, I finished on a good note in Stockton last year.
Yeah, you finished strong.
Yeah, so I'd say that's pretty up there, but yeah, it's just more of the focus. I'm way more focused now, I feel like, and yeah, I'm just... I wanted to find something that'll keep me every day, you know, kind of like entertained with the game and stuff, because it could be drag, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's just surrounding yourself in a great environment, and then, you know, the guys help push you every single day, and I'm very grateful for that.
We had Veronica Alvarez as our acting manager here last year for a week, and I talked to her all about energy and how it's so easy for energy to drop. Where do you get your own energy from?
You know, I like feeding off of other guys. I like seeing, you know, what the vibes are and stuff like that. If someone's a little down, I'll try and motivate them as best as possible. But, you know, sometimes it's a little tough. But, you know, you just gotta be thankful for another day of playing baseball. And I feel like that's number one priority right there.
Was there a day that you can point to where you say, I locked in on my focus here, or this was a huge turning point focus-wise for me?
Focus-wise, I want to say... a couple of weeks ago, we were at home, and no, it was against Lake Elsinore, Lake County, and I was just locked. I was like, okay, every pitch matters, you know, and yeah, just putting a couple at bats, great at bats, and you know, let the vibes flow, you know.
There's something I noticed that you were doing in the series. You were moving up in the batter's box. You would get dug in, the pitcher would come set, and then you'd jump forward, and I'd see good results from it. Where does that come from?
You know, I honestly don't know when I started doing it, but I'm starting to do it more consistently now, and it's just, I think to myself, okay, if this guy's a good changeup, or, you know, good off speed, that's going to break down, yeah. You know, might as well just scoot up in the box when he's not paying attention, and, you know, have it a little higher right there, and, you know, put a good swing on it, but, I'm, like, really picky-choosy when I do it, because some guys, you know, throw 97 up and in, and yeah. I'm not scooting forward right there. But.
Well, it feels like a basketball team, when to full court press and when to bring back, and it's like, now. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to play half court, you want to play full court with
me. Yeah, exactly, and, you know, I've seen good results on it, so, you know, might as well keep on doing it.
Last year I heard that you would get into a pronounced, like, you would bend your knees on two strikes. Is that something you did last year? Was you get really low?
Yeah, with two strikes, I just want to put the ball in play.
Yeah.
Defend the strike zone, anything that's like a ball, maybe a ball and a half off, you know, fight it off until he gives you that mistake right there with two strikes and, you know, just put a good swing on it.
Why are you so adept at getting the ball over the first baseman's head?
I like spreading the ball, you know, all parts of the field. You know, sometimes I can just see where the holes are,
uh-huh.
And then I'll, you know, with two strikes, I'll probably just try and push it that way or something, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that hand-eye coordination, was there something, I mean, there's wiffle ball, but you hear about guys who would practice with, whether small objects that they would hit.
Yeah.
What would you grow up practicing on?
So, growing up, kind of in Dominican Republic as well, we have a game called Vidilla, mm-hmm. Which is, it was a big, it, you know, it's huge over there. It's basically, you get a broomstick,
yeah.
And you get some bottle caps, and, you know, they throw it, some nasty sliders in there, and, you know, just try and put a good swing on it. And it's just, the room for error is, you know, like, it's very small. So, your highs have to be right there where you're swinging. So I feel like that's helped a lot, you know.
Earlier this year, I remember asking Luis Baez, Ron Whitmire, what you were working on, and I just heard, Danny's going to swing harder. Is that true? That was something that you actually changed about your game.
Yeah. Early on in the season, I was just putting the ball in play.
Yeah.
You know, not really my strongest position, swinging.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been working a lot on it, and, you know, it's just finding an area where you're comfortable and you can do some damage. And like you said, it's a blessing and a curse having like great hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Because anything that looks like a strike, you can put it in play, you know?
Yeah.
But you just want to have your pitch so you can do damage. And I feel like I've been focusing more on that instead of putting the ball in play.
I mean, on that, I think Eribel Angeles is a similar type of hitter, and Daniel Susak. You two guys, wherever the pitcher throws, you can hit it. And so how do you say, I need to make sure it's a strike, because if it is, I know I'll hit it harder?
Yeah, so honestly, I really don't like thinking that much. And
that's good for you.
Yeah, because, you know, the pitcher's already throwing hard enough, and it's a game of failure. So you know you're going to fail a lot of times, but it's just focus in your zone. You know, and that comes with a lot of batting practice. All right, where's the spot, you know, that I can really hit it well? And then just focus right there. Focus right there.
Have you seen your BP results change? Like, now I'm seeing doubles and home runs. Did you see that in BP showed up where you're going, oh, I'm driving the ball now, watch it?
Yeah, most definitely. The beginning of the year, I was, you know, a lot of ground balls, you know, little line drives, yeah, and stuff like that. And then now I'm learning to keep my hands a little more back,
yeah,
and then just explode from there and, you know, finish high and drive the ball.
And my final question for you is, we've got a month left in this year. What can you accomplish with this month?
You know, I feel like there's plenty of room to grow in this last month. I just want to keep out and having fun and, you know, just drive the ball and, you know, let God take care of the rest.
here's to your energy, and here's to me enjoying watching you play baseball. Danny, thank you. Muchas gracias.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jesse. Thank you very much.
Danny Bautista Jr. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Chester, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
And here's the national anthem as we send it down to the field. It is the 98th game in the Lansing Lugnuts' 27th season in the Midwest League. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined today by Chris Kleinhans Schultz. So glad to be joined by Chris for a second game over the course of this road trip. Let me get you the starting lineups, and then I'll turn to Chris for his spotlight hitters. Let's begin with the visiting Lansing Lugnuts, affiliated with the Oakland Athletics, 13-19, 44-53. Play ball just declared by youngster. The Lugnuts will lead off with the center fielder, Junior Perez. Batting second, shortstop, Aribil Anales. Left fielder, Danny Bautista Jr., subject to the pregame interview, bats third. Batting fourth, first baseman, Brennan Malone. Hitting fifth, the right fielder, Colby Thomas. Batting sixth in the Lugnuts order, at second base, it's Joshuan Wright. Hitting seventh, DHing Clark Elliott. Hitting eighth, the catcher, C.J. Rodriguez. And then rounding off the order, batting ninth, the third baseman, T.J. Schofield-Sam. Chris, your spotlight Lugnut.
Today I'm going with T.J. Schofield-Sam out of the nine spot. Lugnuts 7 through 9 in the order yesterday, combined to go 0 for the afternoon against the Colonels. He seems like a great pick in today's game to provide some spark for the top of the order. Also would be due for his first Lugnut home run. He's had plenty of pop and has shown it through the system, just doesn't have a home run with Lansing just yet.
And as you say, this is a ballpark where you can hit a home run.
Yep.
Now on the other side for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, they'll lead off with their switch-hitting shortstop, Noah Miller. Batting second, the center fielder, Emmanuel Rodriguez, who homered twice yesterday. Heading third, the man who went back-to-back with him, Kalai Rosario in right field. Heading fourth, the cleanup hitter is the third baseman, Ben Ross. Batting fifth, first baseman, Andrew Cassetti, the big man. Then the catcher, Noah Cardenas, hits sixth. Batting seventh, one of the newest Colonels, left fielder Carson McCusker. Carson McCusker is 6'8", 250 pounds. Kyler Fedko DHing, and batting eighth and batting ninth, second baseman Mikey Perez, your spotlight Colonel.
I go with McCusker making his high A debut today. He's a big man, 6'8", 250, and was tearing it up in Indy ball before recently signing with the Twins.
Let's get things going today. Lugnuts and Colonels, game three. First pitch swung at, foul tipped at home plate at 6:35 p.m. We're underway. Right-hander Kyle Jones against right-handed hitting Junior Perez.
Something I've always loved about Cedar Rapids, among other things, they start games on time here with great frequency.
Jones from the first base out of the rubber. Steps back, lifts the leg, deals. Bunted at and missed. Strike two. They appeal just in case. On the bases, umpire Stacey Dunbar threw up the fist. Dunbar on the bases. Home plate umpire Chad Patterson. Dunbar is pinch umping for Brandon Tipton. Righty-righty, 0-2. Right in there, called strike three in the inside corner. And Perez is down watching to open up the ball game. What a start for Kyle Jones. And Chris, let's give now a spotlight. Who is this right-hander on the mound for Cedar Rapids?
Kyle Jones, who is yet to win a home start this year, still finds his way to a 5-4 overall record. Big strikeout guy coming out of Toledo, drafted by the Twins last year.
Deal. A broken bat ground ball hit by A. Rebiel on last to third. Ben Ross gloves and fires to first in time. Two gone. The defense for Cedar Rapids features Ross at third base. The shortstop is Noah Miller. Mikey Perez is at second. And at first base, Andrew Cassetti. Catchers Noah Cardenas. Carson McCusker is in left. In center field, Emmanuel Rodriguez. And in right, Kalai Rosario. Here's Danny Bautista Jr. Stirrups pulled up to the knees. Pitch on its way. At the letters, called a strike on the outer third. No pitches out of the zone yet from Jones.
Yeah, five pitches and all technically strikes.
Shadows have crossed over the circle. Here's the deal. Down and away, there's ball one. Literally, ball one.
Ball one of the at-bat, ball one of the game.
Chris Kleinon-Schultz, the former voice of the Colonels. Is it weird being in this booth?
A little bit.
Bautista Jr. hits a high fly to left. First chance for Carson McCusker. Back he goes. At the wall. Jumping up. It's gone. Danny Bautista Jr. drives it out to left field. His third homer of the year. And the Lugnuts lead 1-0. I was wondering with the 6'8 McCusker at the wall how high he could get to try to challenge it. But the baseball disappeared over the Budweiser billboard.
I mean, he's tall and has as good a chance as anybody else you can imagine out there, but that was still clear enough of the wall that he wasn't going to have the opportunity. And now, not only three home runs in the season, but that's two of them within this Iowa road trip.
That's right. Two outs, nobody on. Righty-righty, Jones to Brennan Malone. Off the outside corner, ball one. For Kyle Jones, home run number five allowed this season. Entering this road trip, you would never have thought of Danny Bautista Jr. as a home run candidate. Pitch on its way. Grabs the outside corner. Strike called. Now, Brennan Malone, Chris, you saw him seriously struggle against the Quad Cities pitching staff. Finished off that series 3-for-25. He's already 3-for-7 here as he takes a pitch inside. In the first game of the series, had a couple of RBI doubles. And then yesterday, followed up with an RBI single. It's a two-ball, one-strike pitch from Jones. Down and outside, three balls and a strike.
Well, this is a guy, you look at his resume, he's known for hits. He broke some of Nick Markakis' baseball records in high school. He has quality in the bat, and he can also strum out some hits with his guitar playing as well. So whatever kind of hit you want, perhaps, you can get from Brennan Malone.
I love it. The hits just keep on coming.
Yeah. He could possibly be a one-hit wonder with music, but maybe a multi-hit winner in baseball.
He pops this pitch foul off to the right side. We don't know if tonight might have multiple hits themselves. You just want to go platinum. That's the big key.
Yes.
Two outs, base is clear, 1-0 Lansing. The pitch. Breaking ball came in and glanced off the bat. Check swing foul off to the right side. That could have been ball four, as it was, luckily for Jones. Cat holds right here.
Yeah, that was not even a half swing. It was maybe a quarter swing, perhaps, at that, but it was enough that the bat did catch some of the ball.
And eighth swing?
Well, we're back into fractions like we were last week.
Payoff. Dribbler foul off to the on-deck hitter, Thomas, who lets the bat boy cross in front of him to pick it up.
You do have two different bat boys tonight, and one I know I'm going to find a way to talk about as much as possible over in that Colonel's dugout is longtime bat boy John Tighe. He's pretty much a legend around here.
Yeah, I'm going to need to hear more. The pitch, that's dribbled foul in front of the Lugnuts dugout left side. Tell me more about John.
John, who's commonly known as John John, I mean, he's been working with the Colonels for several decades now. Like, I'm sure you've taken the elevator here at this ballpark down to that first level and seen kind of the old history display down there.
Yes.
He was a part of that 2001 Colonels staff from the old ballpark.
Malone checks swing. Went too far, says the home plate umpire. Chad Patterson calls him out on strikes. So strikeouts bookend the first inning for Kyle Jones. But Danny Bautista Jr. homers, and the Lugnuts take a 1-0 lead going to the bottom of the first inning from Cedar Rapids.
The same house was founded to create greater economic mobility and build stronger communities through social connection. Join us at thesamehouse.org to learn more. The same house, same city, worlds apart. Let's bridge the gap.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Danny Bautista Jr. goes yard. Lugnuts up quickly, 1-0, going to the bottom of the first inning. With Chris Klein on Schultz, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Lugnuts lefty Jack Owen will take on Miller, Rodriguez, and Rosario. Top three for the Colonels. Lugnuts defensively feature Bautista in left, Perez in center, Thomas in right. Schofield, Sam at third, Anales at short, Wright at second, Malone at first, C.J. Rodriguez the catcher. Jack Owen's pitch, down and in, ball one, to the switch hitting Noah Miller, batting from the right side.
Miller, a top 10 prospect in the Twins organization, one of the latest shortstop prospects to come through here.
Breaking ball hangs high. Two balls, no strikes.
Yeah, that's a list that includes, among many others, Royce Lewis, Wander Javier, and Brooks Lee. Lee, by the way, just called up by the Twins to AAA St. Paul earlier today.
Outstanding. A swing and a bouncing ball hit weakly foul up the left side. Two balls, one strike from Owen to Miller. Noah Miller's played well in this series. Defensively, offensively. Yesterday, a single and a walk. The day before that, a couple of base hits. He drove in three runs. This pitch is squibbed foul up the right side. Two balls and two strikes. Royce Lewis, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. I could say so many great things about Royce as a player, but even better things as a person, especially for being a number one overall pick out of high school. The maturity that that young man had going through Cedar Rapids in 17 and 18 was off the charts.
2-2. Inside. Count is full.
I mean, you know how they do the different grades for the tools that a hitter or pitcher might have, how they're on a 20 to 80 scale? Royce would have been at least an 80 in terms of character. And certainly up there in terms of hitting and running as well.
Payoff. Hammer down the left field line. That ball is foul. And that is trick-or-treating in the neighborhood right now.
And quite a bit early. I mean, October's what? I'm actually not as many months away as I would have thought. We are technically in August now.
I mean, Noah Miller was early on that pitch. 3-2 again. Fouled back to our right. Stays three balls and two strikes. Nobody on, nobody at. Bottom of the first inning. Lugnuts 1, Colonels nada.
Already a 7-pitch plate appearance, including 4 foul balls from Miller, and now back-to-back with 2 strikes on him.
Pretty ideal for a leadoff man. Payoff. There's another foul out of play off the right side. Into the bleachers.
Yeah, exactly like you said. This is what you want out of a leadoff hitter. Wear that pitcher down. Maybe get him to show off more pitches than he wants to throw early on as well.
Owen throws. Missed inside. Ball four. And Miller works the walk, his 40th walk of the year.
9-pitch walk to start the inning, and now you got some big bats coming up. Now, Miller's pretty good in general in terms of his hitting, but Emmanuel Rodriguez now and Kalai Rosario next, much bigger on the power side. And the first inning statistically is Cedar Rapids' best of the year, and having the leadoff man here helps a lot.
Jack Owen throws, and he misses outside ball one. This is unusual, by the way, for Owen to be around the zone and not in it. That walk to Miller was just his 11th walk of the year, his 10th unintentional walk. Some of the best command in the Oakland A's organization. He fires. There's a called strike in the outside corner to Rodriguez.
And to your point, before this Iowa trip, he had gone 4 consecutive outings without a walk. Also finds himself in this game with someone who's become his usual battery mate in Rodriguez behind the dish.
That's right. Rodriguez the sign, Owen the pitch, fouled away in the air off the left side. The two Californians, CJ from Newport Beach and Jack from Aliso Viejo.
And speaking of Royce Lewis, Owen from Royce's alma mater, J. Sarah Catholic High School.
Pretty good talent has come out of J. Sarah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Owen kicks, offers. Down. Try the off speed. And Rodriguez takes ball two. Now, Manuel Rodriguez yesterday, he basically powered Cedar Rapids to the victory. They were down 3-0. They won 5-3. He homered twice. He takes the breaking ball off the outside corner, and the 20-year-old has worked the count full.
And we talked about those scout grades earlier. He's a 60 in terms of both power and arm. Good abilities to have for an outfielder you hope is going to be in the top half of your big league lineup in the future.
Full count pitch is off the outside corner. What is he for plate discipline? He draws a second consecutive walk from Owen.
And the first appearance for Owen with multiple walks in exactly a month. July 3rd at Great Lakes had two of them in a relief appearance.
So I wonder a little bit, Chris, if Owen said, I'm not going to let Rodriguez beat me. If this pitch is off the outside corner, so be it, but he's not getting a good hack. But there's two on and nobody out for the slugging Kalai Rosario. Catcher Rodriguez goes out to the mound for a word with Owen.
Since there's a break in the action with Rosario coming up, I got to ask my first trivia question to you on the night.
I'm ready.
So he has a Hawaiian first name. Do you know the specific name of the apostrophe-type character that is in his name?
I do not.
It's called an Okina.
An Okina. O-K-I-N-A?
Yes.
Huh.
It's something that's commonly used to break up names and words that might have consecutive vowels that you say separately.
Hmm.
That Okina is a break.
Rosario takes ball one inside. Kalai Rosario, K-A-L-A Okina, I. There is an Okina in the state of Hawaii, right? H-A-W-A-I, Okina, I. This pitch is down and in. Two balls, no strikes.
And if I remember correctly, the state name itself does not, but the big island that has the name with the same other letters does.
Ah.
So it's specifically the one island, not the state name. Again, if I recall correctly.
Owen's pitch. Missed off the inside corner. And now he's well behind Rosario. Three balls and no strikes.
And he's in danger of having already three walks to start the game, and he hasn't had a three-walk outing all season.
Hmm. Well, Cedar Rapids has been known to have the green light here, but Rosario taking, and it's a called strike right in there.
For what it's worth, Rosario also with a good number to be a power hitter here. 25 is what Trey Cavage had for most of his four-year stint with Cedar Rapids. Recently made the big leagues with the Los Angeles Angels.
Good for Trey. The pitch. Rosario drives it to right center field. Junior Perez is dashing back, looking up. It hits off the top of the wall. It's still in play. Miller sprints around to score. Rodriguez is on his heels. There won't be a relay. He scores diving head first across the dish. It's a two-run double for Kalai Rosario. And Cedar Rapids takes a 2-1 lead.
He hit that toward one of the deepest parts of the ballpark, right off the CRST sign between the 390 and 403 marks in right center. And that did look like the very top of the wall, almost looking like the wall was trying to catch it itself for a moment the way that it came off. And if you have the ball that deep and are trying to get it back in, it's almost helpless to try to get any base runner anywhere.
So Colonels in front, three batters into the bottom of the first inning, answering the Batista home run. Owen throws to Ben Ross. A weak ground ball up the third base side. Owen off the mound picks it up He pump fakes to first. He pivots about. He looks at third. Everybody is safe. So after the drive off the top of the wall in right center, Ben Ross reaches on a bleeder. Single for Ross. Rosario to third. Nobody out for Andrew Cassetti.
Now at that point, smart on his part, knowing that he wasn't going to get the runner at first, and then to be able to turn around and see if he could at least get a chance at the runner at third, but the Colonels playing things too close to the bases to give up any outs in this situation.
Some people play things close to the vest. Andrew Cassetti, first pitch, line drive, left field, Elliott back, jumps up, makes the catch. I should say Danny Bautista Jr. with the leaping catch. Throw comes into second as Kalai Rosario tags and scores. Sacrifice fly for Cassetti, and it's now 3-1 Cedar Rapids. First out recorded by Owen.
The catcher is number 41, Noah Cardenas.
That's another instance of hard contact.
And as mentioned before, this is a Colonels team that does a lot of its damage in the first, now outscoring opponents 73-48 in opening frames this year.
Oh, well, one on, one out. Ross at first, Noah Cardenas batting right, takes inside ball one.
And Cardenas, by the way, coming into play today with an active team-high six-game hit streak.
Well, did you read the front page of your Colonels game notes about that? Lefty deals to righty. Cardenas swings and pops it up. Foul off to the right side and out of play.
Is this the part where it'd be Mars Blackman asking, is it the Sox?
Yes! That is exactly what Calvin Cristoforo writes. After pulling his socks up on July 4th, quote-unquote, Noah Cardenas went 5-for-15 in the series versus Quad Cities with two home runs, a double, and five RBIs after not homering in his past 50 games. So he's hit safely in 13 of 14 games since then. Runner breaks. The pitch is grounded to shortstop, picked up by Anales. Throws to first, gets the out. Up to second base goes Ross. Two down.
You were talking about the runner breaking. It feels like whether it's hard contact or soft contact, the runner going to take away the possible double play, it feels like all the breaks are going the Colonel's way here in the bottom of the first.
Carson McCusker now for his first Cedar Rapids plate appearance. 6'8", 250. First pitch bounces down and in. Ball one.
There is activity in the Lugnuts bullpen, by the way. Left-hander Mac Lardner has been getting loose the last couple of minutes.
It all started in this frame with those long plate appearances. It was Noah Miller and Emmanuel Rodriguez drawing the back-to-back walks on 3-2 pitches. A ball one offering to McCusker. Stays off the outside corner.
And the pitch count for Owens getting close to 30 within this inning. A tough spot to be in, and it started right at the very beginning with Miller walking on a 9-pitch plate appearance that had several 2-strike foul balls.
Here's the pitch. Fly ball, center field. Perez started back. Now he comes in. He wants it. He takes it with a two-hand squeeze, and that'll do it for this bottom of the first inning. Danny Bautista Jr. homered in the top half, but in the bottom half, Cedar Rapids answers with three. The first three batters in the order reached and scored. Ross stranded at second base. Let's go to the second inning. It's the Colonels leading the Lugnuts 3-1 from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Chris Klein on Schultz by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Lugnut scored one in the top half. Colonels answered with three in the bottom half. 3-1 Cedar Rapids. 5-6-7 batters in the Lugnuts order for the top of the second. Against the righty, Kyle Jones. The pitch. High pop up on the right side for Colby Thomas. And that baseball gets out of play with a high hop up in the seating bowl.
If you came into Veterans Memorial Stadium for the first time, you'd think that you'd be pretty well protected behind home plate, especially with a little bit of roof overhang and how tall the net is.
Right.
But there's possibilities to get foul balls, not only directly, but perhaps on bounces and ricochets here.
Righty-righty, the pitch from the Toledo Rocket. A line drive over short and a base hit in the left field. McCusker gloves, gets it in. Colby Thomas is on with a leadoff single.
Call it a line drive rocket off of the rocket there.
That's right.
Hashtag get some action.
I mean, I'm trying to think how I can get the Mercer Bears involved. Did he bear down? Oh, wait, that's Arizona Wildcats. Josh Juan Wright steps in, the native of Panama. Right-hander against right-hander. Throwing to right. 3-1 Colonels. Up and away, ball one.
Does make all the perfect sense in the world that Wright is a righty.
That's right. He's Mr. Wright. Plays on the right side of the infield.
You are correct.
That's right. Throws right. Is right. Line drive. Center field. That's right. It's down. One hop for Rodriguez, who plays it into shortstop. And Colby Thomas moves up to second on the right single.
So you get a run in the top of the first. You give up three in the bottom. A nice potential response waiting here with the first two guys of the inning getting aboard. And now, like I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, bottom third of the order was 0 for the afternoon yesterday. Can someone out of this group of Elliot Rodriguez and Schofield Sam find a way to at least close that gap, maybe even pull even or pull back in front?
Let's try Clark Elliott first. How does that sound? Batting left. Now the first offering fouled back. Rolling off to the screen straight behind him. No balls and a strike on the DH for the Lansing Lugnuts. Chris Clark Elliott coming into play today with a nice sizable on-base streak.
10 games in a row entering play this evening.
That reminds me that I need to update Danny Bautista Jr.'s own streak. The pitch is up and away. The breaking ball did not really break all that much. And a ball and a strike on the former Michigan Wolverine, Hale.
To the victors.
Well, we'll see who the victors are going to be.
Yeah, there's still plenty of innings before we get that determined.
In this case, if you were trying to say go blue, Jones spun about and faked a throw over to the runner at second, Thomas. The team wearing the blue caps the Cedar Rapids Colonels with the green brims and the home whites. The pitch, Elliott a check swing. Strike two called on the outside corner.
By the way, that blue cap with the green bill is my favorite Colonels cap. In part because the logo is just kind of the stalk of corn bat figurine. Which I like more than the Colonel's K just because I never felt with the K that the cap was centered enough. Whereas with, you know, bat and stalk, it's pretty clear how you could be centered with that.
See, this is what we're here for. At 3-1, Cedar Rapids leading. 2-1, nobody out for the Lugnuts in the second inning. On a 1-2 pitch for Clark Elliott. Fouled straight back.
And right back to the catcher, Cardenas, as it caught the bottom of the backstop.
I have seen some weird ricochets here off the backstop. There was a ricochet here the other day that it jumped up in the air, and it looked like a kite for a moment. I look back to Thomas, then the pitch. Ground ball, right side, diving stop to his left. Second baseman Perez gets the out at second on Josh Juan Wright. Elliott on at first on the fielder's choice. Over to third base goes Thomas. It's a great job by Perez to simply keep the ball in the infield and then to pivot about and instead of throwing to first base, keep the forced play in order at second and keep right away from scoring position.
Seems like a little bit of the great defense that we got to witness together last week in Quad Cities making its way over here to Rise to Greatness Field at I was about to do all the names together. Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium.
He didn't rise to greatness. He dove for greatness. Elliott's a threat to run at first. Thomas Speedy at third. The pitch, C.J. Rodriguez takes ball one upstairs.
Yeah, you have Rise to Greatness Field, before that PG Cares Field, before that Perfect Game Field, before that Dale and Thomas Popcorn Field. In fact, Jeff Johnson from the Gazette, the local beat writer, still occasionally calls this place the Popper because of that old name.
Huh. 1-0. Popped up and foul off to the right side and back and out of play. Off the second row of seats, bouncing off the netting, and then a fan collected the ricochet on the roof of the Cedar Rapids first base side dugout.
You know, and talking about ricochets, there are times the ball gets over your head and you're in the box seats and you might think that you don't have to worry about anything. But there's a lot of shots that could go off the press box at suite level two, or you could get some crazy ricochets.
Jones throws. Inside. Two balls, one strike on C.J. Rodriguez. Rodriguez and Carlos Amaya are right now the catchers. Daniel Susak was placed on the injured list. Hitters count. And Jones steps off the rubber. He's a little bit worried by the flitting feet of Elliott over at first base.
And he's had a couple step-offs within the inning now. No real pickoff moves. You know, just getting behind that rubber and taking peeks at base runners.
Let's it fly. Elliott doesn't run. The pitch is grounded up the middle. Perez takes it in. Steps on second. Fires to first. Double play. The force in effect at second because of Mikey Perez's play on the Elliott grounder. And then he turns it into two, being right up the middle on the Rodriguez grounder. Two singles open up the frame, but Thomas is left at third, and the Lugnuts are turned away scorelessly. 1.5 complete. Cedar Rapids is up 3-1 over Lansing.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
And now to the bottom of the second inning. The Lugnuts down 3-1 in Cedar Rapids. The lefty Jack Owen, a rude welcome into the first inning. A couple of walks followed by a two-run double by Kalai Rosario. And then a single by Ben Ross. Rosario was scored by an Andrew Cassetti sack fly to cap off the three-run rally. 3-1 Colonels. Owen throws to Kyler Fedko. Now the first offering is hooked on a line. Foul up the left side. Just over the leaping third baseman Schofield Sam. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined by Chris Kleinhans-Schultz. And we are happy to have you along here with us.
We're just happy about everything here today. You with us, you with me with you.
I visited Shady Characters Bookstore earlier today, and it is great here in Cedar Rapids.
Shady Characters
Shady
Bookstore?
Shady Characters, yes. I've been finding great used bookstores wherever I go around the Midwest League. And this was the bookstore that I found here in Cedar Rapids. They are only open between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every single day. But I showed up at 1:40, and they were open until 2:40. I apologize to the owner. I had such a great time. It was a broken bat. Fedco now a new piece of lumber. Back any steps. I love exploring bookstores, Chris.
Same here.
The pitch. Oh, and misses low. One ball, one strike. That was a straight changeup at 79. Next offering, swing and a miss. Working the hard stuff away at 85. A ball and two strikes on Fedko. Kyler Fedko had the big swing of yesterday's game that didn't belong to Emmanuel Rodriguez. Had a two-out, tie-breaking RBI single in the bottom of the sixth inning. And that made it a 4-3 Cedar Rapids lead. They beat the Lugnuts 5-3. That came against Stevie Emmanuels. Emmanuels allowing his first run all year with the Lugnuts yesterday. Oh, and pivots, kicks, throws. Fedko lines a base hit to right field, similar to yesterday's, except a little bit higher off the ground. And comes the throw from Thomas to second. That's a leadoff opposite field single for Kyler Fedko, Colby Thomas' old Cape Cod League teammate.
That's one of the things you love about, really, any level of baseball can have this, but especially from having experienced so much down here, whether it's teammates or adversaries playing together or against each other, there's always those connections throughout baseball, which helps make this game so fun.
Mikey Perez takes a called strike in the outside corner. My favorite example of that was there was a player on the South Bend Cubs, Casey Opitz, and the Lugnuts' former player Jack Winkler. Lefty deals to righty, Perez batting ninth. Bouncer foul left side, no balls, two strikes. The two of them go back together to Littleton, Colorado. And as far as Jack Winkler could ever remember, he had always played against Casey Opitz. Every year. They were always on the opposite teams. And that extended into minor league baseball. The deal? Off the outside corner, ball one. Nobody out, last of the second. Fedko at first base for Cedar Rapids, top of the order. Noah Miller to follow. Owens pitch. A ground ball chopped towards short. Anales attacks, scoops, throws to first to get him. Up to second, Fedko.
Solid play to be able to pick that on the short hop like he did. And with all that momentum going in perhaps in some way for him, but also against him, to be able to transition to that throw made that play look pretty easy. Even though, of course, people like us know it is not that easy.
Noah Miller, the switch hitter, batting right, takes a called strike in the outside corner. There is something in me that takes such great joy, Chris, in seeing a ball put in play turned into an out. Miller walked, scored Cedar Rapids' first run last inning. Off the hands, he pops it into shallow left field. Danny Bautista Jr. rushes forward and grabs it with one hand. Back to second, Fedko, two outs.
You know, in some ways, when the ball gets put in play, whether it's an out, whether everybody is safe or a run is scored perhaps, it's almost like you open up a watch or some other fine machinery and you get to see the insides working. Just being able to get that kind of look at how a play develops.
Yes.
And how everything with it comes together on all sides. There is a magic to it, even if it's a routine play like that last flyout.
Emmanuel Rodriguez takes a breaking ball off the outside corner. That's where, when I go back and I watch these games, I can go back into the system and pull it up. And I will watch certain plays over and over again and watch different things about it. Ball and offering from Owen. A ground ball shot down toward first, into the glove of Malone, down to one knee. Rushes to the bag, wins the race against Rodriguez, and he ends the bottom of the second inning. Here's what you need to know there. First baseman unassisted, scoreless frame, Fedko left it second. Let's go to the third inning now from Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels 3, Lugnuts 1.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
The 9-1-2 batters in the Lugnuts order are forthcoming for this top of the third inning. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Chris Klein, Hans Schultz, the former voice of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, coming your way with the Colonels up 3-1 over the Lugnuts. Kyle Jones deals in a called strike on the outside corner. The right-handed starter for Cedar Rapids, Jones out of St. Clair Shores, Michigan. To T.J. Schofield-Sam, followed by Perez and Angeles. The wind, the pitch, check swing, bounced in. Chris, this was your spotlight Lugnut to watch, Mr. Schofield Sam.
And Schofield Sam, hitless in his last three games, but you know he's due to get a board here. Well, like we talked about before, he's had a lot of homers in the minors, just hasn't had one with Lansing this season.
The pitch. A bouncing ball hit weakly foul up the right side. Shortstop Miller is playing right up the middle. Third baseman Ross way off his line. Left fielder McCusker is playing in. I mean, I would call that shallow for McCusker. It's a 1-2 pitch from Jones, and it's swung at and missed. He's gone on strikes. It is the third strikeout for Kyle Jones.
Jones, in his last year at Toledo in 2022, actually set the program's single-season strikeout record. And so far in his time with the Colonels in his first full pro season, he's just a hair off having strikeout-per-inning pace as a pitcher for CR.
My favorite thing from the Cedar Rapids game notes about Jones' bio, the MAC Medal of Excellence winner, distinguishing himself academically, athletically, through demonstrated service and leadership last year. First offering to Junior Perez misses away. They appeal a check swing, but he didn't go, and it's ball one.
My favorite alliteration for those kind of categories.
Yes.
He's a champion in the classroom, in competition, and in the community.
1-0. Shot towards short, one hot hop for Noah Miller. Fires to first, got him, two outs. My broadcast partner, Adam Jaxa, loves alliteration. Absolutely loves it.
Alliteration and rhyming are two of the best things out there. Not just in terms of broadcast and media, I just think in general.
Do you know what I mean when I say assonance?
Yes, similar vowel sounds.
Yes, exactly. So alliteration is the same consonant sound to start up each word. Here's Aribil Anales. First pitch misses down and away. Not that I have an example. Not that I'm going to make a point. I was just saying.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with an idiom? The pitch. At the knees on the inside corner. Strike call to Aribil. Two outs, nobody on. Lansing batting. Top of the third. Trailing 3-1. Anales is 0-1 with a ground out to third. Jones winds and throws. A bouncer pushed right of the mound. Second baseman Perez comes in with a scoop. Throws to first. Got him. Easy frame for Jones. Strikeout. Two ground outs. Middle of the third. Coming up, the Lugnuts trailing Cedar Rapids 3-1.
What's up? This is Will I Am. I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know, if you're 45 and older, go get a colon cancer screening right now. Ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too. Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And the first inning, Cedar Rapids scored three. In the second inning, a bagel. And as we go to the third, Lansing trailing 3-1 to the Colonels. Lugnuts southpaw Jack Owen, signed as an undrafted free agent from Auburn. He'll take on Rosario, Ross, and Cassetti, 3-4-5. The first offering floats outside ball one at 68 miles per hour to Kala'i Rosario. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strasser with Chris Klein on Schultz. The pitch, dotted in. Two balls and no strikes.
The big question I have for Owen, if he's now made back-to-back starts, is he still a velo boy or is he out of the group?
Revoked the deal. Inside. But I have kept him on our bullpen page and the team game notes because, I don't know, what could happen? But last year he was a Lugnut starting pitcher after relieving in Stockton. Now there's a called strike to Kala'i Rosario. Three balls, one strike.
Me being from a religious background with both parents as passers, I prefer the term excommunicated for not being in the group.
Rosario grunts down to third base, handled by Schofield Sam. A throw across, and that was handled by Brendan Malone, reaching up. One up and one gone. On a 3-1 pitch in the first inning, that's when Rosario doubled in two. Not here. One up, one gone for Ben Ross.
You know, and it wasn't just that he put a ball into play on the same count. In each of those plate appearances, it was three balls in a row to start, so battling from behind, but this time emerging victorious.
Owen now works against the third baseman, and this is the fun thing, right? The second time around through the order, who adjusts? The pitch, a bouncer hit again to third baseman Schofield Sam. Charges, handles, fires across for out number two. Yeah. I've written 5-3 on my scorecard twice in a row.
He's one away from tying the record.
First baseman, number 31, Andrew Cassetti.
Andrew Cassetti steps in, a sack fly his first time, RBI on the fly ball out to left field. Isn't that funny? You could see history any night at the ballpark. Will this be grounded to third? It is taken for a called strike on the inside corner.
It could still happen on other pitches, though.
Maybe.
Hope doesn't have to diminish
pitch.
Even after a strike.
That's right. Keep hope alive. 3-1 Colonels. The pitch, swing and a miss. Nothing and two to Cassetti. Jack Owen trying to strike him out and ruin the fun. Owen has not struck out a batter yet. He's walked two. He's allowed three hits. Turns, kicks, throws. Outside. One ball, two strikes, and Cassetti. 5'10", 215-pounder Cassetti out of Eagleville, Pennsylvania. Long hair and a beard. The deal. Line drive hooked down the left field line. That's down for a base hit. It's going to the corner, cut off by Bautista Jr. Cassetti's going to try for two. Bautista Jr.'s throw in is late. Taken in front of the bag by Wright. Double for Cassetti. It is Cassetti's 11th double of the year.
Well, he hit it in Schofield Sam's direction, but he hit it clear over him. Nice job by Bautista getting to the ball on the warning track in front of that 15-foot tall wall in left. But the throw a little off target and a little late trying to get the runner going for two.
Noah Cardenas takes ball one outside. Cardenas grounded out to shortstop Anales his first time. Well, a double with two outs. Cedar Rapids trying to make something happen and add to their lead. 3-1 in the home third inning. The pitch to Cardenas. Ground ball pulled foul up the third base side. Schofield Sam gave a look and said, not my style. Left of the line.
Now, we were talking about connections earlier. Cardenas, the catcher and number six hitter, former UCLA teammate and now Colonel's teammate with number nine hitter and second baseman Mikey Perez, who with his defense has had a pronounced impact on this game.
Yes, he has. Pitch on its way. A ground ball left side. Schofield Sam at diving try deflected to Anales. Picks it up. Has no play. Cassetti safely over to third. And an infield single for Cardenas. Schofield Sam did everything he could. and because he got in the way and kept that ball in the infield, might have stopped Cassetti from trying to score.
It does keep the inning alive, though, and it also extends that hit streak for Cardenas. Now 7 in a row for him, the best active streak for the Colonels right now, as we get a mound visit for Lansing, and for the second time today, Mac Lardner warming up in that bullpen. So this mound visit, not only to try to help Jack Owen get out of the inning, but also get some more time for Lardner to throw.
This is coming off 2 days ago in the series opener. Jake Garland only went 1 2/3 innings. So it was up to Nambiar, Santos, Fernandez, and Beller to get the Lugnuts through 8. Yesterday, because Mitch Myers worked 2 outs into the bottom of the 6th inning, all they needed to go to was Stevie Emanuels and Brock Whittlesey. That helped out the bullpen. Coming into play today, the pitchers who are working on the most rest, Chris. Mac Lardner, 4 days rest. Jack Owen, 5 days rest, but I'm still looking at him on the bullpen page despite the fact that he's starting. And Charles Hall, 4 days rest, but Hall is more of a back-end guy. Lardner can work multiple innings more than Hall. So keep that in mind as Owen tries to finish off the 3rd inning. Runners at the corners, he deals. And Carson McCusker takes a called strike in the outside corner. McCusker was leading the Frontier League in batting and slugging and OPS. He was outstanding when the Minnesota Twins signed him. He takes a ball.
Kind of amazing to have a pitch that doesn't find his strike zone as tall as he is.
Yeah. Well, 6'8", 250 pounds. But you know that Owen is trying to keep it nice and low. 6'8", and it's an upright stance. The pitch, a ground ball, left side. That's a base hit, hopping into left field. Cassetti scores. Danny Bautista Jr. lobs into short. Cardenas up to second on the McCusker RBI single. 4-1 Cedar Rapids.
So back-to-back ground outs to start the inning, and now double, single, RBI single. There's a school of thought that perhaps you can't call it a rally if your team is in front, but two-out rally or whatever equivalent word you want to use, that is definitely the case this inning for a big insurance run.
I would call it a rally whenever you score runs.
I'm in the same group, though I heard there's some people who are not with me on that.
I would call it a rally whenever you hit the tennis ball back and forth with whoever you're playing against.
Or you could do that with the volleyball as well.
That's true. That's a rally. Kyler Fedko swings and misses strike one. Fedko is 1-for-1 with a single lined into right field his first time with the inside-out stroke.
Speaking of volleyball, we're actually just a week or so away from a lot of those fall college sports starting.
That's right.
I mean, there are teams with either soccer games or soccer exhibitions happening next week already.
Summer vacation? Not if you're a college athlete. With a fall sport, you are practicing. Well, for the Colonels, 3 in the first inning against Owen. 1 so far here in the bottom of the third. This bottom of the third began with back-to-back groundouts. The pitch, Fedko takes off the outside corner. 1-1 in the DH.
And you got to have a lot of respect for those fall sports kids in college, especially as a freshman coming in where you have to dive in a sport even more so than your classes to begin with, and all the classes you're probably missing with team travel events those first couple weeks as well.
Were you a college athlete?
No.
The pitch. That is called a strike on the outside corner.
Now, I was a four-sport athlete in high school. Helped set in Iowa baseball is in the summer as opposed to the spring. And while I wasn't an athlete in college, I've spent so much time just broadcasting college athletics that I appreciate the grind that they go through, and especially how well they do that in competition and academically.
I hear you. The Owen pitch has popped up and fell and out of play. Catch Rodriguez gave a look.
No, in fact, they actually recently had the women's basketball GPA announcements from the WBCA.
Yes.
Two schools in the state of Iowa had the best GPA in their respective divisions. Upper Iowa in Division II and Wartburg College in Division III. So some smart kids in the state.
Hey,
and not to mention, University of Northern Iowa tied for 8th in Division I.
Swing and a miss by Fedko. Owen pulls the string. And that does it for the third inning. Jack Owen's first strikeout. I know that you are very proud of University of Northern Iowa.
UNI fight. UNI fight.
Here, Andrew Cassetti singled in by Carson McCusker. Two runners are stranded. We're going to the fourth inning. Chris Klein-Hanschultz will take over the call of the game with Cedar Rapids leading the Lugnuts 4-1.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Top of the fourth at Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Cedar Rapids Colonels 4, Lansing Lugnuts 1. The Nuts do have the heart of the order batting, beginning with Danny Bautista Jr., followed by the cleanup hitter Brendan Malone, and then Colby Thomas. All of that going up against right-handed Colonel starter Kyle Jones. Kids PA inning, and off to a great start with the Danny Bautista Jr. pronunciation. Righty on righty, first pitch. Bautista takes a called strike near the low inside corner, nothing and one.
Now, Avery Bielanales is due to bat ninth this inning.
Bet there's certain people upstairs that like that. Don't want to test the PA kid that much. Grounder hit to short, handled on several hops, and the toss across is in time from Noah Miller to Andrew Cassetti. Bautista responsible for the lone lug nut run thus far. A home run in the first for him, now a 10-game hit streak and 14-game on-base streak, but denied this time, and now it's up to Brennan Malone, 0-for-1 with a strikeout, but it was a lengthy battle. It took 9 pitches for Jones to finally retire him that first time around. Jones from the first base side of the rubber, and off the windup, he gets a swinging strike. Nothing and one. Malone, the Woodstock, Georgia native, sixth-round pick out of Oregon for the A's last year. On the 0-1, he takes outside. 1-1. There is still activity in the Lugnuts bullpen, suggesting that there could be a change heading into the bottom half of this inning.
That would be my suspicion.
The 1-1. Hard hit liner past the shortstop, Miller, and into left center. Picked up by Carson McCusker and thrown back to the infield following the single for Malone.
I noticed that Brendan Malone's beard is getting thicker and thicker. And I asked him, was he planning on becoming Charlie Blackman? I mean, Blackman, a darn good hitter. Well, there's a good role model. He told me that his mother is friends with Charlie Blackman's mother.
Wow. There's baseball, the game of connections. Colby Thomas now batting. And a topper hit back to the mound. Throw to second for one. Perez on to first, and it's in time and handled by Cassetti near the dirt. And quickly the top of the fourth is over. It's a 1-4-3 inning-ending double play, negating the one-out signal from Malone. No runs, one hit, no errors, nobody left. On to the bottom of the fourth, 4-1 Colonels.
Our excellence is shining, yet so many of us are dying. Colon cancer is silently killing our people, our friends, and family. So screen, we must. We do this for all of us. The health revolution must begin. From diagnosis to death rates, colon cancer can no longer win. Ravaging Black communities, colon screenings are a must. They're recommended for those 45 and up to pinpoint and treat the signs. If detected early, colon cancer is treatable, 91% beatable. It's on us to stand up to cancer once and for all.
What's up? This is Will I Am, and I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know that colon cancer affects the Black community at a higher rate. But there's hope. Getting screened for colon cancer can save your life. So learn about your screening options, including easy-to-use at-home tests. Ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
Bye. bottom of the fourth, 4-1 Colonels. And the Lugnuts go from one Californian to another. Aliso Viejo's Jack Owen, tonight's starting pitcher, now replaced by Templeton, California native, Mac Lardner. The Velo boy on for the left-hander Owen, who went three innings, gave up six hits, four runs, all of them earned. Also had two walks and one strikeout in this game. Currently would be on hook for the loss. Lardner will start off with the number nine hitter, Mikey Perez, followed by switch-hitting leadoff man Noah Miller, and then the left-handed hitting number two man, Emmanuel Rodriguez. Season highs in hits and runs allowed tonight for Owen, also tied as high in walks in the start today. First pitch from Lardner is chopped toward third, handled on the second hop by TJ Schofield Sam, and the throw is in at first, a step ahead of Perez. One pitch, one up and one away in the home half of the fourth. Now it's Noah Miller, the Twins shortstop prospect, now at the dish. Miller so far today, a walk plus a run scored, also a flyout. Lardner's pitch, and that one fouled back over the net. And that one almost worked its way into the far side of the press box here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. In order to do that, you pretty much have to hit a line drive foul that goes just barely over the top of the backstop net to have a chance to get into one of these windows on the fly. The 0-1 swung it and missed, nothing in two. Miller, the brother of Owen Miller, the Milwaukee Brewer, who was previously with Cleveland. In fact, earlier this season in a game against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, Miller had an RBI single off two-time National League All-Star, and one of his brother Owen's teammates, Brandon Woodruff, made a rehab appearance with the T-Rats. The 0-2 has popped up left side. Schofield Sam, who has been busy, gets into foul territory, makes the catch a few paces away from the third base bag. Foul pop out. Two away to begin the bottom of the fourth. Emmanuel Rodriguez batting with the Colonels still up 4-1.
I think that's always such a good feeling. Whenever there's a rehab appearance with the major leaguer, they've got things that they're working on. They're trying to get their way back. But you get the chance to say, I got a hit against a major leaguer. I remember Aroldis Chapman came down to rehab with the Dayton Dragons. That was a thrill for the Lugnuts who got a chance to face him. They did not get a hit against him.
First pitch. Big drive from Rodriguez down the right field line, and this one gets just over the fence for a home run down the right field line. And Emmanuel Rodriguez stretches that Colonels lead to 5-1.
He is on some kind of hot streak. That's a laser.
Rodriguez, he of the two-homer game yesterday, adding yet another round-tripper. Up to 14 on the season. That's just his fourth off a left-handed pitcher as well.
Well, his home run, his first home run yesterday, he stood at home plate and he watched it. He really enjoyed it. This one, he's tearing up the first base line because he thinks that ball is going to hit off the wall.
Kalai Rosario swings and misses at the first pitch from Lardner, nothing and one.
That's what we talk about, the dimensions of this ballpark. There are ways and places here for a batter to get some home runs if you hit it right. And that line drive was hit right for him.
The 0-1, down and in near Rosario's feet, 1-1. You know, down that right field line, it's 325. That was a little bit away from the pole itself, but not too far. And it only had to clear an 8-foot-tall wall. In fact, other than the Plumbers and Pipefitters Pavilion down the left field line, 315 away and 15 feet high, fences everywhere else are just 8 feet even. Here's a swing and a miss. Went through the off-speed there from Lardner. One ball and two strikes. Time call to the plate. This is that two-strike batter timeout from Rosario. It doesn't have to come with two strikes, but this is one of those automatic moves for so many hitters in these pitch clock days of ours. 1-2 the count. Rosario ready. Lardner ready. Still ready. Now he deals. Swing and a miss. Off speed again. Gets the strikeout to end the inning. One run, one hit, no errors, nobody left. Emmanuel Rodriguez goes deep once again for the Colonels, who are now 5-1 on the Lugnuts, heading to the fifth.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
After four innings of play here in Cedar Rapids, the Colonels have a 5-1 lead against the Lugnuts. Batting for Lansing in the top of the fifth, Joshuan Wright, Clark Elliott, and C.J. Rodriguez. Still pitching for the Colonels, right-handed starter Kyle Jones. Just 44 pitches in four innings. And he has 32 strikes compared to 12 balls. Jones against Wright, first time around. Wright got aboard with a single.
Second baseman, number five, Joshuan Wright.
Wright with a .244 average, a .646 OPS. No home runs yet. First offering smack toward right center field. That gets in for yet another hit. Joshuan Wright out of the sixth spot. 2-for-2 to start this game.
Yeah, you say no home runs, and I say to you, that's his game. It's spraying line drives all over the field. Take the ball where it's pitched, put it into play. But here's the big key. Whenever a Lugnuts runner has reached base against Kyle Jones, this is where Jones has thrown a grounder. This is where he has helped himself out.
In fact, a big grounder off the bat. This man, Clark Elliott, big reason why the Lugnuts have been held to just one run. Jones delivers. And a hard hit liner to right center. Wright will get around second and head for third. It's going to be a single for Elliott. Now, when Elliott was up the first time, he had that ground ball toward the hole on the right side. And a diving play from Mikey Perez, who was able to go to second for the force out. And then the following hitter, C.J. Rodriguez, grounded into a double play. That was the closest the Lugnuts had come to scoring since the Danny Bautista Jr. homer in the first. Now here in the fifth inning, with the Lugnuts down 5-1, it's runners at the corners, nobody out for C.J. Rodriguez, and a chance for the Lugnuts to start chopping away. Over at third is Wright. Elliott the runner at first. Right-hander Jones set at the belt. First pitch. High, deep fly ball to right, heading for Kalai Rosario. He makes the catch. Tagging at third is Wright, who will come in and score on the sacrifice fly. Elliott stayed at first. So now, one on, one out, one in for the Lugnuts here in the top of the fifth. Lansing closes the gap to 5-2 against Cedar Rapids.
I like the hitting so far this frame. C.J. Rodriguez, okay, you're down by four runs, but it's the top of the fifth inning. You've got a runner at third, less than two outs. You know, get that ball out into right field, get it deep enough. It's good hitting, and now there's the danger of Clark Elliott trying to steal second.
First pitch to Schofield Sam, taken for a ball, and that's the first pitch the Lugnuts have taken this inning. They've been aggressive, first three batters swinging at the first pitches that they saw, but getting good contact on all of them, not just aggressive for aggressiveness' sake. Productive with that as well. Dancing over at first is Elliott. The next pitch. Here's a high fly ball to left over the head of Carson McCusker, and it's over the wall as well. A home run for TJ Schofield Sam, his first as a Lugnut. And suddenly the Lugnuts pull within 5-4 in the top of the fifth.
You named him your spotlight hitter before this game. I've been watching his BP sessions. I've been watching him go through his paces. That's going to feel really good for TJ. But that's the kind of power to all fields that he possesses.
And if there's anyone in this ballpark that feels better than TJ about it, it might be me. Two picks to click for the Lugnuts in my broadcast with you during this road trip, and both of them having good games, and each specifically hitting a home run as well.
I think you take a back seat behind a lot of those guys in the black and the gray.
For once, I wanted to feel really important about myself.
You can feel fine. TJ Schofield Sam had been 2-for-17 at Quad Cities and then 0-for-5 in this series. So he had been 2-for-23 entering that plate appearance on this road trip. That's a big shot.
First pitch to Junior Perez. That's taken for a strike, 0-1. Schofield Sam now up to 19 home runs in his pro career, trailing only Perez, who's up to 45 after going deep previously this series. And the pitch is downstairs, making it 1-1. Perez with a chance if he hits a home run in this game to tie Lázaro Armenteros for the longest home run streak of the season at 3. Jones out of the windup, first base side. And the pitch, hard hit ball, lined through the left side, a single. So that's five batters this inning. 3 singles, a homer, a sac fly, a lot of loud contact for the Lugnuts, who turned what was once a 5-1 deficit now in just this 5-4 difference, with the potential game tying run now aboard with one away for Eribiel Angeles.
Chris, I also look at the lift. How many grounders did we see off Jones in the early going? Not right now.
First offering. Smacked foul over the Miller mezzanine off to our right. Nothing and one.
I mean, we saw in the first inning a ground out and 2 strikeouts around the home run. In the second inning, we saw grounder upon grounder upon grounder. Third inning, 2 ground outs. Fourth inning, 2 grounders.
Next pitch. Little bloop carrying to right. This will be deep enough for Rosario, who makes the catch. Heading back to first is Perez. It'll be 1-2 away for Danny Bautista Jr., the reigning Midwest League Player of the Week, with the Lugnuts trailing just 5-4.
But again, that's hard contact. That's off a barrel, and that's a line drive. So it happens to be Rosario in the right spot at the right time. But you're seeing Kyle Jones is making mistakes right now, and the Lugnuts are taking advantage.
Righty on righty, Jones set. Big lead for Perez, who dances off of first. Pitch taken for a strike on the outer half, 0-1. That is one of the things I've liked seeing out of these Lugnut base runners over at first today. Kind of that Jackie Robinson-esque motioning over at first base. Hoping, among other things, to get in the pitcher's head. There he goes. And the 0-1 hit high and deep toward right center field. But it'll be caught by Emmanuel Rodriguez, the center fielder. The inning over, but not before a lot of damage done by the Lugnuts. 3 runs, 4 hits, no errors, 1 man left. It's a one-run game midway through in Cedar Rapids. Colonels 5, Lugnuts 4.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Home half of the fifth, Cedar Rapids Colonels 5, Lansing Lugnuts 4. Middle of the order for the men of Corn, Ben Ross, Andrew Cassetti, and Noah Cardenas batting against left-hander Mac Lardner.
Would you literally call the Colonels when you were their broadcaster, would you call them the men of Corn?
Honestly, not as much. What has helped develop that terminology to come out now,
yes,
is just seeing Jeff Johnson from the Gazette use it so much on Twitter.
I mean, Sundays are the children of the corn in the stands.
Honestly, from what I remember, I would hope not. Ross today, a single and a ground out. Lardner gave up a home run in the fourth, but nothing else. Back for a second inning of work. First pitch is outside, ball one. Jesse, since you put these Lugnut game notes together, you know I got to talk about how Lardner came to be in the A's organization. especially with a potential Frontier League on Frontier League matchup perhaps coming up this inning. The 1-0 fouled away, ball on a strike. Lardner was slated to start opening day for the Frontier League's Washington Wild Things, but signed with the A's May 4th, 2022. And Craig Conklin, who is the current Lugnut manager, had a role to play in that signing. 1-1 the count on Ross. And this one swung at and missed. Took a little off, and Ross comes up empty. One ball, two strikes, and he calls his timeout here with a 1-2 count.
It's true. The families go back together. It's that California connection.
Remember from D2 Mighty Ducks, ducks fly together? Californians fly together, too, I guess.
Surf together.
Rollerblade together. 1-2. Ball near the low outside corner. Two balls and two strikes. Ross, the right-handed hitting third baseman, number 26 prospect in the Twins organization, according to MLB Pipeline. 14 home runs with the Colonels. And he hits one hard, a liner into center for a single. A multi-hit game for Ross. Sprays that one up the middle. The relay goes off the glove of the shortstop, Angeles. Got past Josh Wainwright, but was backed up by the pitcher, Lardner. So no extra advancement for Ross. With a surname like Ross, you know that he definitely has a way to paint his way on board.
I see what you're doing.
Some happy little singles.
Yeah, tell pitchers that there are no mistakes.
First pitch to Cassetti. Down and in for ball one. And Cassetti is about as appropriate of a Minnesota organization player as there is. He has a twin brother. He is literally a twin playing in the minors for the Twins. One ball, no strikes. Lardner delivers. Taken at the top of the zone for a strike. 1-1. Cassetti, the former St. Joseph's Hawk, whose twin brother Anthony played baseball at the Naval Academy. The 1-1 off the end of the bat, fouled near the Colonel's dugout and tracked down by the veteran bat boy John Tighe. 1-2, the new count.
I'm trying to think of other twins who have been twins. They had Taylor Rogers, but not Tyler Rogers, right?
And then in the minor league side, Spencer Steer is a twin, although he made it to the big leagues ultimately with the Reds after that big deal last year. The 1-2, runner goes, and the ball popped up. Runner got to second, but is now heading back toward first as the fly ball lands in the glove of Junior Perez. It'll be one on and one away for Noah Cardenas. Still 5-4 Colonels in the bottom of the fifth. Meanwhile, waiting on deck, Carson McCusker, who, as we've talked about already, was in the Frontier League, a Tri-City Valley Cap before recently signing with the Twins. Got called up today from single-A Fort Myers and is in his high-A debut this evening. First pitch to Cardenas. He swings and misses. Strike one.
If you don't mind us retreating a bit, so the Twins have had twins. It strikes me that the Athletics have had players who are athletic. I'm trying to think. The Padres have certainly had guys who were fathers. Maybe they haven't been in the priesthood.
Runner goes on the 0-1. Pitches a ball. The throw is in time, but a bit off target. And sliding away from the ranging tag attempt of Wright is Ross with a stolen base. So now a runner in scoring position with one out. 1-1 to Cardenas.
Wright caught the throw. Anales at shortstop caught the helmet. The helmet from Ben Ross went cannoning away right to A. Rebiel.
Nice retrieval there. Also because I keep thinking of more twins. I don't know if they were in the big leagues ever with the twins, but coaching within the organization, Stan and Stu Clyburn.
Yes.
The 1-1 is roped into left. Runner being waved in from third. Bautista's relay gets all the way to the plate. It looked to be in time, and the tag is there. Ross cut down at home, 7-2 on the Cardenas single. He advances to second on the throw. It's still 5-4 Colonels. Runner at second and two away as Brian Dinkelman, the manager, will come in to argue perhaps about the timing of the tag, but also perhaps about possible interference from the catcher blocking the path.
It's the second thing. It's the obstruction, because C.J. Rodriguez had camped out in front of the plate. Now, what the home plate umpire Patterson is ruling is that ball is beating the runner into the plate. So it's not like Ben Ross is actually getting denied home. Rodriguez, once he catches it, he can apply the tag, and that's exactly what he did. But Dinkelman saw what I saw, which was CJ had camped out in front of home plate in between the baseline and the dish before that throw had arrived. He just needs his base runner to be a little bit quicker, and then he's got a case.
Yeah, because it does say within the rule book, despite some video replay results that might submit to the contrary,
yes,
if the runner was going to be out regardless, there can be no blocking.
Right. Nothing was being blocked. He was getting tagged out.
First pitch. And McCusker went around for a swing. Nothing and one.
Frontier League has grown somewhat since I was back in the Frontier League in 2008.
You might say that the league's frontier has stretched a little bit.
I mean, isn't that the thing?
The 0-1. Outside for a ball, 1-1.
When will it reach Alaska? Because that is America's frontier.
Mm. Going back to Lardner being from the league, Washington Wild Things, that was also the team where famous punter and now media personality Pat McAfee had a one-game foray in pro baseball.
Pittsburgh suburb.
A pitch down and in, 2-1.
16 teams are right now in the Frontier League, and I bet if I asked you the question, what is the longest ongoing independent league in the country, you could not have told me. The Frontier League stretches back to 1993.
Wow. So even at the longest, it's still younger than I would have thought. The 2-1. Swing and a miss, 2-2.
There's a wonderful manager in the Oakland Athletics organization. Brent Reardon manages AAA Las Vegas, and it came from the Frontier League where he was a legend. That's where he joined the A's.
Still love about the Frontier League. McAfee plays in that one game and insists he has a 250 on base percentage when he got on because of a force out. That does not help your OBP, McAfee.
That's an 0-1.
He actually batted against former hot rod pitcher Reynaldo Lopez, who I had when I was with Bowling Green in 2013. Swing and a miss for strike three. Colonels come close, but do not score in the bottom of the fifth. No runs, two hits, no errors, one left. Bautista with an outfield assist with Ross thrown out at home. It remains 5-4. Colonels going to the sixth.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Time for the sixth. Cedar Rapids Colonels up 5-4 on the Lansing Lugnuts. The Nuts have the middle of the order batting with Brennan Malone, Colby Thomas, and Joshua Wright. It is still right-handed starter Kyle Jones in the game. Sometimes at the various A levels, pitch count may be part of the consideration for whether or not you leave a guy in. That's not an issue. Even after getting lit up for 3 runs in the fifth, Jones is still averaging about 11 pitches per inning, but he was getting hit hard. Some solid contact from the Lugnuts. You wonder here with Malone, the cleanup hitter, starting, if that trend will continue. Right-hander on the mound, righty at the plate. Jones winding up. He comes home. This one fouled away over the roof for strike one.
The feeling of getting the pitch count up is all about getting into the bullpen sooner. Because back in the day, the relievers were not as good as the starter. And I think if you're the Lugnuts right now, you say, we're barreling Jones. We want him to stay in.
Next pitch, inside, 1-1. That's kind of that line you hear in the NFL or even college ranks. If a defensive back could hold on to an interception, he'd be good enough to play wide receiver. If a reliever were good enough to go a lot of innings, he'd be a starter. Here's a drive hit deep to left from Malone, and this one is fair for a home run to tie the game. Malone with his fourth lug nut round tripper. Fair above the tall wall at the Plumbers and Pipefitters Pavilion, and we're all even at five apiece in the top of the sixth.
Malone is such a great example of a player who has both a hit tool and a hit for power tool. He's able to use the whole field with line drives, but a pitcher gives him something. Let's say Kyle Jones, a pitch that he can turn on. He just walloped that delivery out of the ballpark.
Three home runs allowed by Jones. That is a new career high for the young pro pitcher. First offering to Colby Thomas fouled off for strike one. Five all is the score. Bases empty. No one out. Top of the sixth. Lugnuts against the Colonels here at Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Next pitch swung at and missed. Nothing and two. It appears we will get some activity in that Colonels bullpen here shortly. And at first glance, it appears to be A.J. Labus getting loose. Jones is nothing and two on Thomas. And he's low on this pitch, one and two. Today's game, August the 3rd, 2023. It was on this date, 32 years ago, that an Iowa baseball legacy came to a fitting closing chapter. More in a moment. Here's a foul ball by Thomas, off of Thomas. One ball and two strikes.
Do I hear a tease?
You do hear a tease. It was on this day in 1991, nearby Norway High School, in the final baseball game and final event of any kind in the school's history, won the program's 20th state baseball title, an extra inning win over South Clay. Here's a swing and a miss. Thomas tried to hold up, but he went around. A strikeout for Jones, and it's now bases empty, one away for Joshuan Wright. Game tied at five with number five coming to the plate.
Second baseman, number five, Joshuan Wright.
So it was on this day, in eight innings, Norway with a 7-4 win over South Clay for Iowa's Class 1A title. Here's a pitch grounded up the middle. Chance for the second baseman. Scooped by Mikey Perez. Throw across his body and momentum in time to first. Another good defensive play from Perez. And now it's two away and the game tied for Clark Elliott. For those who haven't heard the story, well, one of the easiest ways you can catch up on some of the highlights, albeit with some changes for dramatic purposes, there's the movie The Final Season about the Norway baseball program, in which the state championship game scenes were filmed in this very ballpark. Grounder hit to second. An easier play for Perez and some of his others tonight. And he'll toss to first to get Elliott and end the top of the sixth. We'll have more on Norway in the final season coming up in a moment. One run, one hit, no errors, nobody left. To the bottom of the sixth. Lugnuts 5, Colonels 5.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Bottom of the sixth, 5-5 between the Lansing Lugnuts and Cedar Rapids Colonels. To this point, 4 unanswered runs for the Lugnuts. Kyler Fedko, Mikey Perez, and leadoff hitter Noah Miller batting against Lansing's Mac Lardner back out for his third inning of relief. In the top half of this sixth inning, we started talking about This day in Iowa baseball history, Norway High School from not far away from Cedar Rapids, winning the program's 20th baseball championship, final game, final event for the school. It was already announced that it was going to basically merge with nearby Benton Community, and the baseball program going out a winner in dramatic fashion. First pitch to Fedko. That's taken for a ball, 1-0. In fact, the team was down to its final strike twice within the top of the seventh, but managed to tie the game. And then South Clay had the bases loaded with two out in the bottom of the seventh, but Norway got out of the jam. 1-0 pitch. That one downstairs, and on appeal, no swing to call from base umpire Stacy Dunbar, 2-0. And then Norway with three runs in the top of the eighth and a scoreless bottom of the eighth to clinch the championship. And not only close the book on the season, but close the book on Norway High. 2-0 on Fedko, the pitch. Strike called on the outer half, 2-1.
These two were born brave teammates with each other back in 2019.
There again, the game of connections we've been talking about so much tonight.
Well, you mentioned that, and so Mac's father emailed in to say, hey, here's another connection you might not have known about.
All right, thanks to him for that. Another called strike makes it 2-2. It's the first matchup between Fedko and Lardner. Previously against starting pitcher Jack Owen, Fedko had a single and a swinging strikeout.
Lardner and that Bourne team. The Bourne team finished 18-24, but Lardner in six starts, 31 strikeouts, only three walks in 32 innings, at a 2.25 ERA.
And that's coming against some of the best collegiate players in the country going to the cake.
Yes.
That'd be great against anyone, but especially against kids like that. 2-2. Called third strike. Fedko started a swing, but ultimately held back and rung up by the home plate umpire, Chad Patterson. Bases empty, one away. Game tied at five, and Mikey Perez, the number nine hitter, batting for Cedar Rapids. Also, I briefly mentioned this Norway story ultimately inspired a movie. In fact, Kent Stock, the head coach of that team, was part of the creative process to getting this movie made. Came out about 15 years ago. Here's a swing and a miss from Perez, nothing and one. As mentioned before, the championship scenes, because they show the previous year's title game involving Norway and then the final season's title game involving Norway, they were both filmed in this ballpark. Then just known as the new Veterans Memorial Stadium.
That's awesome.
Next pitch taken for a ball, 1-1. And we say new Veterans Memorial Stadium because out behind us where the parking lot is now used to be the original Veterans Memorial Stadium, hosting baseball from 1949 through 2001. The pitch, down and in, 2-1 to Perez.
If you get on the elevator at the ground floor level, field level, if you're leaving the field, the Lugnuts clubhouse, you get on the elevator. Right there is the framed newspaper article about the last game at Old Veterans Memorial Stadium.
The 2-1 grounded softly and foul down the third baseline. 2-2 on Perez. Also, they still have the lineup board that has the lineups from that final game at the old ballpark.
There's a full display case in tribute to which major leaguer?
Trevor Hoffman.
Yes.
Who, as I talked with you when we were on the air last week, he was a Reds minor leaguer, formerly a position player. He made his pitching debut with the Cedar Rapids Reds in the early 90s. The 2-2. Chopper just off the glove of Lardner, off his bare hand as well. Couldn't corral it on both attempts, and Perez is aboard. It'll be one on, one away for number one in the lineup, number one on the roster, and perhaps for someone out there, number one in your heart, Noah Miller, following the infield single by Perez.
That's the only play. Number one on the Lugnuts is the shortstop, Avery Bielanales. If that ball gets beyond Mac Lardner, he's not going to turn that into an out, so it had to be Lardner to try it.
And try he did, just couldn't come up with it. First offering, outside, and a good snag on a wayward pitch, handled by the catcher, Rodriguez.
Nobody ever says, this guy is number two, in the lineup and in your heart.
If we do get to Rodriguez, who is on deck, though, there is an Austin Powers reference coming your way, though. That's another tease. And the pitch is low, two balls and no strikes.
Who does number two work for?
You know, the final season, the movie about that Norway team, you had Sean Astin playing Kent Stock. The preceding head coach, Jim Van Scoy, performed on screen by the now late great Powers Booth. 2-0. Down and away, 3-0. You have Iowa native and veteran actor Tom Arnold in that movie as well. And helping to fill out some of the baseball rosters, high school and college kids from the state. Got to get a baseball team somehow. The 3-0 is taken for a ball just off the corner. It was outside, and the walk will push Perez, the potential go-ahead run into scoring position. First and second, one away. And now for the Colonels, their number two man, number two in the lineup, Emmanuel Rodriguez, who so far has a walk and a run scored, a ground out, and a home run, on which, of course, he scored a run and drove in a run. Those runs in that time, of course, being the same. Rodriguez had a liner that cleared the Cost Cutters advertisement down that right field line. Not immediately down the line, but close enough. And he swings through the first pitch. Nothing and one. 50-50 rebel number is 262. Plus, in addition to this ballpark serving a role as being the site of the championship games, which in real life were played in Marshalltown, Iowa, there's a scene where they show Jim Van Scoy having moved on to the Tigers organization in a minor league bullpen. They actually shot that in the home bullpen here in Cedar Rapids. Pitch in the dirt, but the batter went around. The home plate umpire, Chad Patterson, rules a swinging strike on Rodriguez, and it's 0-2 for Lardner against perhaps the first big bat that he faces out of this situation. You have another dangerous power man in Kalai Rosario waiting on deck. Meanwhile, out in the Colonel's bullpen, after a brief break, it appears that A.J. Labus is throwing again, so likely coming in for the top of the seventh, and the Lugnuts will have couple men from the bottom of the order before turning it back to Junior Perez in the top of the lineup.
You know, in that bottom of the order, T.J. Schofield-Sam is coming off a home run.
Indeed. The 0-2. Rodriguez thought about a swing, but held up in plenty of time, takes a ball low and away.
This is where he impresses me. He's got a ton of power. He's got a ton of speed. He's got a great throwing arm. But he's 20 years of age, and he's shown off great discernment. Takes a lot of pitches.
Lardner with a look to second. And his 1-2 pitch is high, 2-2.
I mean, that's something when you've got a young slugger like Emmanuel Rodriguez, and he is not expanding and helping the pitcher out. He does strike out a lot, but that's because he sees so many pitches.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. And he has made it to all of the true outcomes tonight. The strikeout following the home run, and then before that, a walk along with his ground out. So he's done it all tonight.
Full credit, Mac Lardner. You picture, you're a very confident person if you're Emmanuel Rodriguez, right? Highly confident. You're taking on a pitcher you homered against earlier in this game. You had two home runs yesterday, and Lardner goes out and stares him down and does what Mac Lardner does, which is he changes speed so effectively that Rodriguez was so far out in front of that 2-2. That's a big strikeout before Rosario.
Rosario 1-for-3 with a two-run double that opened the Colonel's scoring in this game tonight. First pitch, grounded foul, third base side, 0-1. It's a five-all game in the bottom of the sixth. Two on, two away, nothing and one on Rosario. And now the Lugnuts getting a pitcher ready in the bullpen. Lansing looking to perhaps get a righty warmed up for the first time. Nothing and one on Rosario. Lardner set. He delivers. Swing and a miss. Nothing and two.
Classic Lardner, right? Off-speed pitch one, then the fastball right by him at 86. How many times can Kalai Rosario say, got overpowered by an 86-mile-an-hour fastball? It's Charles Hall warming up in the bullpen for Lansing.
The former Panera employee who, yes, by the time he gets in, hopefully can put up a clean inning or two. 0-2 on Rosario. 2-on, 2-away. Here it is. In the dirt, and it bounces away from Rodriguez. That one landed a couple feet in front of home plate, and by the time Rodriguez gets to it, the runners move up. Perez to third, Miller to second. It's 1-2 on Rosario. And while you're still just one strike away, one out away from ending the inning, you're also perhaps one more wild pitch away, among other possibilities, of letting that go-ahead run come across.
Well, Lardner, 8 wild pitches now this year, leads the Lugnuts in that category.
He is ready for the 1-2. Comes home, Swing and a miss. He strikes out Rosario. Back-to-back scoreless innings. Three total frames out of the bullpen. Ed Lardner keeps this game tied. No runs, one hit, no errors. Two left in the bottom of the sixth. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes over the play-by-play when we come back. 5-all going to the seventh.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Protect her home and family in a disaster. Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chris Kleinheim Schultz is dancing to my left. We've got a 5-5 game. We're dancing into the seventh.
Well, we're dancing because of the YMCA. Oh. But the game, too.
Well, you were shoulder shimmying, and I believe that there are actual dance movements for the YMCA. There are not too many songs in which you're spelling out the chorus. We could spell out C.J. Rodriguez, followed by T.J. Schofield Sam, and then Junior Perez. Top of the seventh, first pitch. CJ takes a called strike from the new man on the mound. The right-hander now in for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and A.J. Labus out of Plano, Texas. 5-5, the deal. Outside, had one ball and one strike on the Lugnuts, catcher batting eighth.
It would line up that A.J. faces CJ and then T.J.
Doesn't it?
Just wonderful.
A-OK. The deal. A chopper hit right back to him. Spears it. Underhands to first. 1-3. Sorry, I went into numbers there to end that. G-O.
Third baseman, number six.
One gone for T.J. Schofield Sam.
Big two-run homer his last time up. First home run as a Lugnut and part of a still active streak of four unanswered tallies for the Lugnuts to even the game.
Here's the deal. Off the outside corner, ball one. Labus coming into play today. A 6.75 ERA, but six earned runs, seven runs in total. Allowed in eight innings. It's been limited time. Six walks, six Ks. Shot to the left side. Base hit, left field, Schofield Sam. McCusker on hand to pick it up and get it in. And it's a one out oppo single for Schofield Sam.
And one of the biggest things that stands out statistically about Labus is that opponents are batting over 300 against him. And that number continuing to go up after the Schofield Sam single, now setting the table for the leadoff man, Junior Perez.
There's a part of me, though, which says he just hasn't pitched enough to learn that much from his stats yet. Labus deals to Junior Perez, right to right. The breaking ball in there for a called strike one. Junior's 1-for-3 with a single. I don't know what's the amount of innings, Chris, where I start to say, okay, we can learn from this. But eight innings doesn't seem enough.
I would agree with you there. But I'll take what numbers are available.
Fires to first base. Schofield Sam dives back in.
Feels like that was the first real pickoff attempt of the game, if I recall.
Well,
we've had some step-offs, but I'm not sure there have been many, if any, throws over prior to that.
Kyle Jones did not seem like he wanted to throw over. The pitch to Perez. Fouled straight back. Caught a piece of the breaking ball.
Yeah, and to your point, Jones stepped off a couple times, and it felt like almost in his mind he was trying to convince himself he needed to do something other than just step off. So, he would just make a motion it wouldn't be an earnest attempt at a pickoff. He was just pantomiming.
Tell you what, though, how many stolen bases were there against him?
I do not believe there were any.
There were zero. And the Lugnuts have zero steals in the series. They lead the league in steals. Out 0-2. Perez fouls it up and away to the right side. So I would say that's something. Now, they tried to run, and then the ball would be put into play or fouled away. 6 runs, 9 hits, 5 runs against the starter Kyle Jones, who allowed 3 home runs. Labus to the plate, a 1 and a 0-2. Down and outside. Now the count is 1 ball and 2 strikes, and this call has been brought to you by The Future.
All right, what do you see the count being after this next pitch?
1 ball and 2 strikes. I'm going to call a foul ball. What do you say?
I'm saying ball in fair territory.
Labus deals a dribbler foul. So, I take my bow.
All right, what are this weekend's lottery numbers?
For which state and which country and...
and which game? You know, everybody just thinks like Powerball, but Mega Millions is out there. Even just some of those smaller prizes can be good. The satisfaction of winning any amount of money, there's something to it.
The lottery that I am most likely to take part in is buying a pack of baseball cards and hoping I get a cool card in that pack. Labor sets high. Kicks, throws. Swing and a miss. Strikes out Junior. 2 outs.
And maybe what's going on at Iowa and Iowa State, we don't need to be talking about gambling that much either.
Well, this is something that, especially for when you work within sports and gambling is rising so high, I think we're going to hear about this more and more. 2 outs, runner at first, tie game 5-5. The pitch to Avery Bielanoles, inside for ball 1.
And especially something like professional baseball, when you think about the sins of the past relevant to gambling,
yes,
and yet the ever-increasing relationship between Major League Baseball and live sports betting and other legalized forms of gambling. Those are quite some conversations.
Anales bounces left side off one hop. Ross took it in, beats second, forcing out Schofield Sam. And that fielder's choice ends the top of the seventh inning. Stand up, stretch it out. The Lugnuts and the Colonels still tied 5-5, going to the bottom of the seventh inning from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Three important innings from Mack Lardner, who allowed 1 run, a solo home run in the bottom of the fourth inning to Emmanuel Rodriguez, and that was all. In the fifth inning, there was a runner, Ben Ross, thrown out at home plate by left fielder Danny Bautista Jr. And then in the sixth inning, Lardner allowed a base hit, an infield single, Scribber off his glove, a walk. He wild pitched those runners to second and third, but he struck out Rodriguez and Kalai Rosario, and he stranded them. And so in the end for Mack, 3 innings of 1-run ball, 4 base hits allowed. He strikes out 5. He walks 1. He is now out. Charles Hall is in. 5-5. Lugnuts deadlocked with the Cedar Rapids Colonels in game 3 of a 6-game series. Colonels won the opener 12-9, won yesterday 5-3. This is anybody's ball game. Hall throws to Ben Ross, right-hander to right-hander. Low and in, ball 1. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Alongside me, That's Chris Klein-Hans-Schultz, the longtime voice of the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Two hyphenates in one booth are better than just one.
Hull deals to Ross. That's Scott Fowle off the right side. Charles Hull's last name is four letters long. Ben Ross's last name is four letters long. And our last names are longer.
Speaking of Ross, on the canvas that he's put together, so to speak, two singles and a ground out. So two for three.
The pitch. Swing and a miss. One ball, two strikes.
I did not come into this game wanting to do Ross puns, but that's where we are.
I'm looking at all these happy trees. They're out beyond the left field wall and center field wall.
And I love seeing happy trees, especially after, among other things, so many of them that were cut down either during or after the derecho that happened a few years ago here.
You said it. 1-2. Fouled back over the screen. I would watch Bob Ross. Not purposefully. I would sit back as a kid. I would flip around the different channels. And there was this guy doing play-by-play of painting. And I'd say, play-by-play of painting. Oh, I want to watch this. The deal? That's lifted high in the air and foul. Towering off to the right. Malone gave a look. That's out of play, too.
I want to say growing up, Bob Ross was one of the things that was on my local PBS before the cartoons would show up.
Ah.
So you know the cartoons are coming. You just got to sit through the painting first.
Here's the pitch from Hull. Strike three called. Set him down. Now Ross back to the dugout. First batter, first strikeout for Charles Hull. Bring up Andrew Cassetti. I'm trying to think about what cartoons would be on PBS. Maybe a little Arthur.
A-A-R-B-B-A occur. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Arthur and Clifford. I could still sing the Arthur theme song.
Ooh.
I don't know if you were a Wishbone kid.
Okay, yeah.
The pitch to Andrew Cassetti. Fly ball right center field and hit well. Junior Perez rushes back out of the alleyway. Runs it down. Spinning off the wall. Junior Perez preventing the circuit trip. And there's two gone in the last of the seventh. Andrew Cassetti robbed of extra bases with a star next to it on the scorecard.
That's that same right center field gap where Rosario had that two-run double earlier. And it was my comments at the time. You hit a ball out there, it's tough to do anything with base runners. But he's not a base runner, at least not anymore, if you catch it in flight. Great running grab by Perez.
5-5, last of the seventh. Hall's pitch, Noah Cardenas fouls it away to the right side. And this spot, in this late going, if that ball gets down, that's at least two bases for Cassetti. And that means a man in scoring position for Cedar Rapids looking to break in this tie. Hall throws to Cardenas. Up and inside. Junior Perez has shown off the toolbox. He's shown the power, he's shown the speed, the pure hitting ability, the plate discipline. We've seen the arm. Here's the range. Hall throws. Went around too far on the curve down. One ball, two strikes on Cardenas.
And as I know that we talked about together and you've talked about even just in your own broadcast by yourself, like someone like Perez in this trip jumping into a full-time role in the top of the order and just how well he's performed in that.
Yes. Leadoff hitter for the very first time this year starting up on this road trip. Eddie has flourished. Charles Hull with the 1-2. That's skied out to right field. Colby Thomas to his left and rushes in. Down the line, loses his cap, makes the catch, and ends the inning. A 1-2-3 frame for Captain Hook. Colonels walk the plank. We go to the eighth inning. The Lugnuts and the Colonels tied up 5-5 in Cedar Rapids.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
No, but I think Chris Klein-Hanschultz is getting into this music that we have, bringing us back from each break, chosen by Adam Jaxa.
Music is the soundtrack of life.
Yes.
Whatever the music is out there, there's something to enjoy and get into.
Well, let's go to the eighth inning. I'm going to give you and Chris a You Make the Call here on the top of the eighth, because we did a You Make the Call here in the stadium. 5-5. A.J. Labus' first pitch, called a strike in the outside corner to Danny Bautista Jr. I want you to imagine, Chris, and you sitting back wherever you are, at home, in your car. You're comfortable. Well, the pitch. Bautista Jr. fooled, went around too far. No balls and two strikes on the Lugnuts left fielder. It's Bautista, Malone, and Thomas, 3-4-5. In the top of the eighth against the right-handed reliever, Labus. I want you to imagine Cedar Rapids left fielder Carson McCusker. He is 6'8" tall. The pitch. Bautista lays off, and it's outside. The count is 1-2. So imagine a short, relatively short outfield wall behind him, and Bautista Jr. hits a line drive down the left field line. Labus deals. Chopper pulled left side, backhanded by shortstop Miller. Plants, fires, got him at first base. One down. Carson McCusker jumps up at the wall to try to catch that line drive. He can't catch it. In fact, the ball bounces off his glove and over the wall. But because he's right next to the foul pole, the ball bounces off his glove and it bounces to the left of the foul pole. Foul. Now, he jumped in fair territory. The ball hit his glove in fair territory. But the ball hit off his glove and it bounced over the wall. Foul. Where should the runner be placed, if anywhere? Think about that as Brendan Malone takes a ball outside. Chris, you think about this, and we'll answer it in the bottom half of this eighth inning.
The suspense is killing me already.
I think that you've got a good idea. The pitch to Malone, down and away. 2-0. So line drive that the outfielder jumps up at the wall, touches it with his glove in fair territory, knocks it over the wall, but he knocks it to the left of the foul pole. Foul over the wall. Where's the batter runner placed? Malone swings, lines it right side, one hot hop for second baseman Perez to his left. Goes to first, dug up there by Cassetti. Two batters and two outs on the ground against Labus. Bring up Colby Thomas now, homeward in the first game of this series. And I encourage you, Jake Goldstrass at LansingLugnuts.com if you want to play along. JGOLDSTRASS at LansingLugnuts.com.
And if you think you know the answer, or perhaps just like these kind of questions as a whole, perhaps you could become interested in being an umpire or other sports official in your local town.
Thomas takes a cold strike on the outside corner. Oh, is that something that you do, for instance?
Not something currently, but that was my first real job in college before announcing took off.
That's awesome. The pitch to Thomas. Swing and a miss. I know Mark Yule of the MHSAA back in the Michigan area, and they're constantly looking for people to be umpires, officials, referees.
I mean, there are already high school football games coming up in Iowa later this month that are getting moved because there aren't enough officials on certain days.
The 0-2 is bounced back to the mound up the third base side. Difficult play, Labus. Bare hands, throws. He's safe at first base. Thomas beat it out. And Colby Thomas, as he always does after he finishes running, it takes his helmet off. He does the hair flip. Helmet goes right back on. He's at first with a two-out single.
Well, that's good hustle on that play. And you got to hustle to get safe on a grounder like that.
Well, now, here's a question for you. Do you send Colby to try to steal second base? Josh won right the batter, right side, two outs and a tie game in the eighth. First pitch, he's not running. And it's bounced to the right side, base hit right field. Thomas Burns around second. Helmet is falling off as he goes. Throw to third base by Rosario, taken off the bag and late by the third baseman, Ross. Single by Josh Wainwright, his third single of the game. And there are runners at the corners for the Nuts.
And that's a big grab Ross has to come off the bag for it. And even after he does, it's not a sure thing that he's going to catch that ball. By making that running play going away from the bag, he keeps the ball in the infield. If that ball gets away, Wright has a chance to move into scoring position himself, and perhaps Thomas scores on that play. But because he makes that catch, it's just runners at the corners that you have multiple possibilities, including forced possibilities, to still get that third out.
We have a mound visit. I believe that this is Jonas Lovin, not Carlos Hernandez, one of the two pitching coaches for the Minnesota Twins High A affiliate.
And meanwhile, in the bullpen, Germany's own Nicholas Rimmel,
hey,
starting to get loose.
By the way, speaking of Germany, Women's World Cup, Germany getting knocked out and eliminated.
I mean, think about how close the United States was to getting eliminated.
Yes.
That ball catches the woodwork in a different spot or goes inside of it. The women are going home.
That's right. I have not been staying up and watching the World Cup at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4, 5 a.m., but I do wake up each day, and I watch the highlights as soon as I wake up.
I sit up to watch that one and nearly had the heart attack at 4 a.m.
Clark Elliott's the batter. 2-on, 2-out, 5-5 in the eighth. The pitch, inside corner, called strike one. The righty A.J. Labus against the left-handed hitting D.H. Clark Elliott. 1-for-3 with a single and a run scored. His on-base streak already extended to 11 games. Can he break the tie? Thomas at third, right at first. Labus deals. Swing and a foul tip, hung onto by Cardenas. Nothing and two. By the way, Jonas Lovin, who just visited the mound, was at Iowa Central Community College. Before that, he was at Concordia, just joined the Minnesota Twins organization. Former Nebraska Cornhusker. Here's the Michigan Wolverine. Elliott, the pitch, down and in. Short hop pickup by catcher Cardenas. Taking on the LSU Tiger, A.J. Labus. If you're wondering about Wright at first base, 1-for-1 in steals. Thomas at third, 6-for-7. A 1-2. Down and in. Tough take. 2 balls and 2 strikes in Elliott.
Now, you asked me about base running earlier. Would you think that Wright possibly moves from first, if not to steal into scoring position, to perhaps provide a distraction against Thomas home?
I do not. Labus throws. Low. Ball 3.
Well, I'm glad I asked you when I did, because now with a full count and 2 away, we know that Wright's going to be running on this pitch.
Ask me the question again. Go ahead. Ask me again. He's going to run. The reason why is the Lugnuts have been running themselves out of threats each of the last couple of days. So right now, you put your stock right now. And Clark Elliott, right moves, action pitch. Grounded foul right side. John John, bat boy first base side, stepped out of the way, picks it up. Does the home plate umpire want it? Brings it out to Chad Patterson.
And brings several other baseballs with him as well. He'll keep the foul ball, but he'll give the others to Patterson.
See, that's wise. Now, do you know the old wrong baseball trick that's pulled by a reliever where you hold the baseball in your hand, a foul goes into the bullpen, and you deftly switch them to give the old one to the fan? 3-2, right running. Chopper pulled on the right side, right to Mikey Perez. Throws to first, side retired. The Lugnuts are turned away scorelessly. Thomas left at third, Wright left at first, following their singles. And we're off to the bottom of the eighth inning. Lansing and Cedar Rapids tied 5-5.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Charles Hall toes the rubber for the last of the eighth inning. Worked a perfect seventh. His job is to keep this game tied up 5-5 between the Lugnuts and the Colonels and get it to the ninth. Carson McCusker, Kyler Fedko, and Mikey Perez, the 7-8-9 batters for Cedar Rapids, are coming up against the right-hander from Dumfries, Virginia. 33rd round selection out of Tusculum. The Oakland Athletics in 2019 in the 33rd round took Charles Hall. In the 34th round, they took his Lugnuts teammate, Kumar Nambiar. He throws. Carson McCusker went around too far on the curve. On appeal, yes. Bases umpire Dunbar put up the right fist. Strike one.
Now, the story of Hall being a high school position player and then taking a break from baseball before entering college as a pitcher and now pitching professionally, it's something.
Here's an 0-1. Low. No, Athanese called strike two. I wonder if you asked every single player, at what point did you think that you would be a professional baseball player? Give me the age. You would get such a wide range of answers. Hall throws. McCusker fouls it away off the right side. That's the great Hall hook. And McCusker was able to spoil it.
So if Charles Hall is Captain Hook, is there a Smee on this team?
It's me. I'm the problem.
Hi.
That just was the hook in Captain Hook. That's his great curve. It was spoiled to the right. Tries to go two. Swing and a miss. Got him with the hook. Down and away. Give McCusker the hook, and the Oklahoma State Cowboy takes a seat. One away in the bottom of the eighth inning. Nadawar, you make the call. In our hypothetical situation, Carson McCusker, the left fielder, a line drive hit down the left field line, jumps up at the wall, tries to make the catch, the ball hits off his glove, bounces over the wall, but to the left of the foul pole and foul ground, over the wall, where is the batter runner placed, if anywhere? Roddy Roddy, Hall to Kyler Fedko, up and in ball one. Chris, your guess.
Second base on a rule book double.
David Lockman emailing in, runner on second. David, you and Chris are correct. It's a double. It's two bases. 1-0. Inside. Ball two. Well done, sir. Now, this has been your You Make the Call. I hope that rose to the level of your standards.
It did at least that, if not more.
Oh, good. Good. Hall's pitch. Line drive hooked foul up the left side. Off the tarp. Out of the Lugnuts pen. John Beller is going to go get it. But instead, it's Danny Bautista Jr. who got there first and underhands it up toward the pavilion. That was not a good underhand. It goes beyond the fans. It goes out to where the wall elbows out deeply, right in front of all the Twins' retired numbers. Try number two is good. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
You know, in that first throw, fans are having to reach over the wall. That encourages potential fan interference, too.
Yeah, you don't want any fans to reach too far. Two balls and a strike. The pitch. Maybe above the letters. Three balls and a strike now on Fedko. Kyler Fedko is 1-for-3 with a single and strikeouts each of his last two times against the starter Owen and against the reliever Lardner. Owen three innings, Lardner three innings, now Hall for second inning, dealing. Curve, strike called inside corner. That is where Hall's hook is deadly because he can hook you inside corner, outside corner, up and down. Not that much energy right now going through these stands. We have felt this place hopping the last two games when the Cedar Rapids offense starts juicing up the power. Game tied 5-5. Payoff. Curveball up and in. Missed with it, and he walks Fedko. Potential go-ahead run is aboard with one away.
You know, and perhaps the energy picks up with that runner on base. It's not necessarily as if there's no energy in the park at all, but it's kind of that conversational murmur that isn't so much a baseball energy going on right now.
Folks are saying to each other, so it's a Thursday night. You know what movies are coming out this weekend? I feel like watching the new Ninja Turtles movie. Pitcher Hall steps off the rubber.
People still disappointed that they didn't want one of the First Federal Credit Union free screens on Free Screen Thursday.
Right. I don't blame them. Highly disappointing. Righty, righty. Mikey Perez waits. 5-5 in the eighth inning. Fastball from Hall in there for a called strike at 88.
Now, here's why a run would be huge for Cedar Rapids. Now, if you're the home team with the lead going into the ninth.
Hang on. They would lead. Okay, back to you.
as good as it'd be for anybody, a lead going into the ninth is automatic for the Colonels this year.
This pitch misses inside. Perez tried to turn into it and take it off his shoulder. He missed it.
So right now the game is tied. In games that are tied after eight, the Colonels are 4-4. But if they get a run, they'd be ahead. When they're up after the eighth, 51-0.
Perez golfs it in the air, left center field, lot of green grass, falls for a base hit, one hop to Danny Bautista Jr., spins, gets it in for second. Wide turn around first base, Perez, a thumb behind him, the tag, they got him! Brandon Malone stuck there at first base, Mikey Perez lost sight of him in the rearview mirror, and he just handed the Lugnuts an out. To third base on the play goes Fedko. Two gone in the bottom of the eighth inning.
And Perez is seeing the way that Bautista is turning after getting that ball and thinks that he wants to get that lead runner, the go-ahead run. And so that takes him a few extra steps towards second, and that was enough. Even with Malone a bit out of position, he had time to retreat and get him on the tag.
Now Noah Miller takes called strike in the outside corner. So there's the potential tie-breaking run in Kyler Fedko at third base, 90 feet away. 5-5 game, last of the eighth, two outs. Switch hitting Miller, batting left. Hall fires. High and outside. One ball, one strike. To go back to that stat, Chris. That, I think, is the reason why Cedar Rapids is the best team in the West Division. When they lead you, they beat you. Great power offensively. Great starting pitching, but the back end. The pitch. Smacked on the line. Over short. Base hit left center. Fedko scores and Cedar Rapids leads. And center field Perez gets it in. Miller flashes for second. Throw in. Tag. No. Wright thought that they had him. Center fielder Perez was jumping around with frustration. It's a hustle RBI double for Noah Miller. And the Colonels are up 6-5.
From up here, that was about as close as it can get. Did appear, at least to me, as if Miller might have got in just a split second ahead. And here, you get that big out on the bases as the Lugnuts defense. You know you're one away from getting out of the inning. You have a little momentum, perhaps. But now all that is gone, and the Colonels have a one-run lead. And with Nicholas Rimmel in the bullpen waiting to come in for the ninth.
Emmanuel Rodriguez, first pitch. Outside ball, one from Hall. Rodriguez today is 1-for-3 with a walk, a home run. He has scored 2 of the 6. And now here's the key if you're Cedar Rapids is you're looking to build upon that lead. If you're the Lugnuts, you want it to stay at 1. Righty deals to lefty. The pitch. Off the outside corner again, not getting the call. 2 balls and 0 strikes.
By the way, going back to that Perez at bat where he got thrown out trying to get back to first. That now means 2 outfield assists in this game for Danny Bautista Jr.
Rodriguez takes a called strike on the outside corner. By the way, Rimmel, looking ahead to the ninth inning, has blown 2 of his 3 save opportunities this year. But not in the ninth, not in the game that Cedar Rapids has lost. In fact, Miguel Rodriguez, 13 of 13, the Lugnuts saw him in the first game. Hall's 2-1. Off the outside corner, ball 3. The Lugnuts batters due up for the ninth inning will be Rodriguez, Schofield, Sam, and then Junior Perez, 8-9-1. And you know, if they wanted to go to the bench to maybe pull out a pinch hitter, Jacob Wilson is idle today after starting the first 2 games of the series. The pitch. That's outside, and that's ball 4. And Charles Hall is looking into the home plate umpire Patterson and going, you know, you gave me one of those calls on the edge. Where did the others miss? Acting pitching coach Rick Rodriguez pays a visit to the mound. Rodriguez for Cedar Rapids. Emmanuel Rodriguez is at first. Acting pitching coach Rick Rodriguez out to the mound with the catcher CJ Rodriguez. I hope you're not too confused. Let's check out the out-of-town Oakland Athletics organizational scoreboard. The A's will play later on tonight, 10:10 Eastern. We're right now in the Central Time Zone, so I note that that is not all that far away. It's currently 17 minutes from 9 o'clock in the Central. And the former Great Lakes Loon, Julio Urias, will be on the mound for the Dodgers against J.P. Sears and the Oakland A's. At the AAA level, Zach Godley on the bump. And the Las Vegas Aviators are leading Albuquerque 6-1. Home runs for Connor Capel, Greg Dykeman, Logan Davidson, and Brett Harris. 4 homers in the early going. 6-1 Aviators. Double A, the Midland Rockhounds are leading Frisco 4-2. No home runs for the Rockhounds, but Max Muncy is 3-for-3. He has knocked in a run, he has scored a run. J.J. Schwartz has knocked in 3. Here we go. Kalai Rosario, 2-on-2 out. 6-5 Colonels, bottom of the eighth. The pitch. Down low, smothered by C.J. Rodriguez. And that game, rough start for Jack Perkins. Remember, he was an ace earlier this year for the Lugnuts, a fifth rounder last year from Indiana. And 1 2/3 innings, 5 walks, that ended his game, 53 pitches. He only allowed 1 run. David Leal came in for him. Hall delivers. Inside, nearly struck Rosario. Later on tonight, the Stockton Ports will take on the Visalia Rawhide. Earlier today, in the Dominican Summer League, the A's lost 13-2 to the Rays. The record, though, is 18-20. They've been playing some really good baseball as of late. Hall has his sign from C.J. Rodriguez. Fires. Drops it in there for a called strike on a good-looking hook. And in the Arizona Complex League, checking in to see which draft picks are there and what they're doing for the 17th rounder from the University of Florida, Colby Halter, DHing today, has already doubled in a run. He's hitting .583. He's been brilliant. The pitch, Rosario takes ball 3 inside. Also in that starting lineup, the 12th round catcher, Cole Kahn, out of the University of Illinois, Chicago. Will Simpson, drafted from Washington, a big bruising first baseman. And Jonah Cox, the Oral Roberts standout. 47-game hitting streak this year. This pitch is inside, and the bases are loaded on a second straight walk given out by Hall. And with that, looks like we're going to see some action down at the Lugnuts pen. Rosario to first, Rodriguez to second, Miller to third, and Ben Ross is coming up. You don't want this game to get away from you. Lugnuts down 6-5.
And it's Brock Whittlesey, he of the terrific beard and terrific sock collection, getting warmed up for the Lugnuts.
Who fired a perfect inning yesterday. Hall throws to Ross. Inside, ball 1. That's that same pitch, that think about it, arm side. He didn't get the call against the lefty Rodriguez. He's not getting the call here against the righty Ross. Charles Hall trying to put a damper on this frame. One run already in. Righty to righty. Bounced it in. Now he's kicking around at the landing area. 2 balls, no strikes on Ross. 2-for-4 with 2 singles.
And there, if that pitch gets away, it allows a run. Think back also with Perez thrown out of the bases after his single. If he was still aboard, in theory, these last couple of walks would have pushed him in, and it'd be a 2-run game instead of a 1-run game.
Without a doubt. The pitch. Ross swings away and bounces it to his third base coach and manager, Brian Dinkelman. What do you think about that? Hall is scuffling with his command. The 2 5-pitch walks in a row. Falls by 2-0. And there's Ben Ross swinging away and helping him out.
That is some on-brand Twins organization aggressiveness, though.
Yes. Ross is a slugger. The pitch. Up and in. Tried to turn into that curveball and get hit. It missed him. But the count is 3 balls and a strike. Andrew Cassetti is on deck. First baseman Malone way off his line. Everybody back. Pitch on its way. Down and in. Not close. And Hall is kicking at that landing spot. He has walked in a run. 7-5 Colonels.
You go back again after Perez is thrown out. There's still the runner at third, but it's 2 away, and you're that close to getting out of the inning. Since then, the go-ahead double, and now 3 consecutive walks. The last one played in another run and stretching out that lead.
Catcher Rodriguez is going out to the mound. Hall went to the back of the hill, picked up the rosin bag, fired it down. And you just feel that Brock Whittlesey can't get warmed up quickly enough based upon how things have unraveled. Andrew Cassetti is 1-for-3 with a sack fly in his first time up, a double in the third, and a run scored. And his last 2 times, 2 flyouts to center, but that last flyout, Junior Perez made a terrific run and catch on in deepest right center. Hall is going to take on Cassetti.
Or now not.
No, Craig Conklin out of the dugout. Whittlesey's ready.
They use that mound visit from the catcher just to buy a couple extra warm-up pitches so that Whittlesey can come in now.
So for Charles Hall, a 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh. Then the strikeout of McCusker to open up this eighth inning. But then the walk to Fedco, the single by Perez, the RBI double by Miller, and then walks to Rodriguez, Rosario, and Ross. And now a walk off the mound for Charles Hall. I asked him in an interview about his confidence. When does he feel confident? Is it between outings? Is it heading into a game? And he said it actually comes and goes as the appearance occurs, and I think that we saw that here today.
You know, sometimes the good or the bad energy can kind of snowball on you, and especially after you give up that go-ahead double, you then have the three straight five-pitch walks. You know, it just feels like you're slipping further and further down the mountain.
In 2021, Charles Hall was named the Midwest League's right-handed reliever of the year. We know how good he can be when he is on. He was untouchable to finish off that campaign for the Lugnuts. But as it is right now, welcome back to the mound for a second consecutive game, Brock Whittlesey.
A native of Mesa, Arizona, a longtime spring training home for baseball in general, current home of the A's facility, Hohokam Stadium, product of New Mexico State. He's had different stints with the Lugnuts within his professional career. And in a situation like this, as rare as back-to-back appearances can be here and further on down, the hope is that him having pitched so quickly yesterday and in a spot where all he needs to get is one out, that you'd be willing to do that today, especially when you look coming in. You had Owen on 5 days rest, Lardner and Hall on 4 days rest. Everybody else that you'd potentially throw today would be either on one or none. And someone like Whittlesey, we know how good he can be.
I think
he's a nice person to have in.
Yeah, I think that the hope, and I beg your pardon, Chris, is that he doesn't have to work too many pitches, right?
Yeah.
Get one out, get out of this eighth inning. Two runs have been scored. Colonels lead 7-5. Colonel at every bag. Righty-righty, Andrew Cassetti takes ball one.
You could say that the sacks are full of corn.
You could say that.
Always love doing
things like that. Yeah, we should probably say that.
Well, the good thing is we just did, so cross it off the list.
Well, all right. The pitch, outside, ball two.
You know, and one of those things that, because they don't show up this way on the box score, you can easily overlook them. The impact C.J. Rodriguez has had on this game, because there have been a lot of cases where if that pitch gets away from him, the extra runs are on the board.
Whittlesey to Cassetti. Bounced foul at home plate. Two balls, one strike. There's more of that aggressiveness from Cedar Rapids. Back to C.J. The minor league catching coordinator for the Oakland Athletics, Gabe Ortiz, was with the team in Quad Cities last week, and I asked him about C.J., and he considers C.J. Rodriguez to be a preeminent game caller. Just thinks that he's outstanding at it behind home plate. Here's the pitch. Cassetti gets under it. Shallow right center field. There's the speed from Junior Perez to get there. Makes the catch from center. And right Thomas overlap behind him. And Brock Whittlesey, four pitches. He's out of the eighth. He leaves the bases loaded. We're going to the ninth inning now from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And the lead for the Colonels is two runs. Colonels 7, Lugnuts 5.
Come on, Dad. There's nothing like a Michigan summer. Whether enjoying one of our many summer festivals, a gathering on a lake, or a trip to wine country, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to help prepare and even host your next summertime celebration. So have fun, but know your limits and the limits of your guests. Have a designated driver available when necessary. Live, work, and play safe this summer.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Vince Cotroneo, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
With Chris Klein on Schultz, I am Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and we are going to the ninth inning. The Lugnuts are trailing the Cedar Rapids Colonels 7-5. Colonels breaking the deadlock in the last of the eighth on an RBI double by Noah Miller and an RBI walk drawn by Ben Ross. Now to the bullpen for Cedar Rapids. Chris, how about this new right-hander?
Nicholas Rimmel, one of the latest Berlin, Germany natives to be with this Colonels program. He's got a two-run lead to work with and starts with the number eight hitter, C.J. Rodriguez.
Rimmel lets it fly right-hander to right-hander. Starts him off with a called strike in the outside corner at 89.
Can you name another Berlin-born Colonel?
Colonel Klink. At 0-1. High fly center field. Emmanuel Rodriguez in. He's got the catch. C.J. Rodriguez is out.
Rimmel with the same hometown as 2013 Colonel Max Kepler.
Of course, whose image is on the side of this ballpark.
Yes, and Rimmel, along with Kepler, part of a list of five different Germany natives to sign with the Twins organization.
See, when I think about German Colonels, I was thinking about Hogan's Heroes. T.J. Schofield-Sam takes ball one high.
Schofield Sam with that great game so far out of the nine spot. The two-run homer in the fifth and a single in the seventh. 2 of 3 on the evening.
Right-handed pitcher, left-handed batter. One out in the ninth, down 7-5. One around too far on the high fastball. One ball, one strike on the Lugnuts. Third baseman, 2 for 3, as Chris was talking about. On deck, Junior Perez. He's the tying run. The pitch to Schofield Sam. Outside. 2 balls, 1 strike.
And bringing back a stat that we brought up last inning before the Colonels took the lead, Cedar Rapids looking to go 52 for 52 in games where they've led after the eighth inning.
Pitch on its way. Swing and a miss on the fastball. It's 91, but there is life there from Rimmel.
It seems so much more explosive than that, that every time I see the 91 on the board, I just think, I can't possibly be right, can it? But they're using TrackMan, so it must be right.
The step back, the hands over the head, the kick, the pitch. Fastball called, strike three at the letters. 2 outs.
The last time that the Colonels lost a game that they led going into the ninth, August 24th, 2022. They're actually up 2 going into the ninth and 3 going to the bottom of the ninth, but ultimately fell in an 11-inning game at Lake County that evening.
Ooh. Well, weird things happen in Lake County, let me tell you. Junior Perez trying to keep the Lugnuts alive. Takes a called strike in the inside corner. Nothing but the hard stuff from Rimmel. That's 89 on the hands. 5 runs, 12 hits for the Lugnuts. 7 runs, 12 hits for the Colonels. No errors in the game. The windup. The pitch. Fly ball pounded to right center field. Out toward the alleyway. That ball is down, one hopping off the wall. Perez flies bareheaded around to second base. And he hangs tight right there. It's a 2-out double off Rimmel. And that brings up A. Uribiel Anales as the potential game-tying run.
You know, and Perez, who homered in the previous two games of this series with the big extra base knock to one of the best alleys in the ballpark to hit the ball to. And now Anales could potentially tie this game himself, or he could just keep the merry-go-round running with the dangerous Danny Bautista Jr., who has already homered in this game, waiting in that on-deck circle.
Colonel's mascot, Mr. Shucks, biting his nails atop the first baseside dugout.
Corn has nails?
It has ears. A. Rebill Anales takes a called strike one. It has hair. Mr. Shucks has a baseball for a head.
And only recently finally got a cap that he can take on and off.
Congratulations.
It's great. He can take it off for the anthem and everything.
Right-hander deals to right-hander. Rimmel's pitch. Up and in nearly hit him. And if he had, that would have put the tying runs on for Danny Bautista Jr., who's waiting on deck and homered earlier. Lugnuts home runs in this game. Bautista in the first, Schofield Sam in the fifth, Brennan Malone in the sixth. Set. The one ball, one strike offering on its way. Off the hands, right side, weakly hit to Mikey Perez. Picks it up, throws to first. Got him. This ball game is over. Cedar Rapids has beaten the Lugnuts in 3 straight to open up the series. Final score, the Colonels 7, the Lugnuts 5.
And with this victory, it not only guarantees no worse than a split for this week's series, but it also means that the Colonels claim a victory in the season series with the Lugnuts. As you talked about before, kind of that different look of having a cross-division series twice within a season. And that being the case here today. And while the Lugnuts, after trailing for most of the early portion, battled back, Colonels got enough runs in the eighth to find a way to victory and again remain undefeated in games where they take a lead into the ninth, as Rimmel out of the back of that bullpen does give up the two-out double to Perez, but otherwise flawless in getting the save tonight and wrapping this one up for the men of Corn.
The Lugnuts' record falls to 13-20, 44-54 for the year, while the Colonels improved to 21-12 and 61-38 for 2023. Three more games to go in the series. Tomorrow night, 6:35 p.m. Central. Jose DiCochea, the ball for the Lugnuts. He'll take on the left-hander Christian McLeod for Cedar Rapids. Then on Saturday, Brady Basso against Andrew Morris, followed by a Sunday matchup. We expect perhaps Jacob Waters or Yoelvis Del Rosario will match up with the Colonels right-hander Corey Lewis. That game on Sunday is going to be 105 Central, 205 Eastern time. But the next two nights, 7:35 Eastern, 6:35 Central. And I'll be on the airwaves about 15 minutes after the top of the hour, about 6:15 Central, 7:15 Eastern, to get everything going from Veterans Memorial Stadium. Chris, not a victory here like it was in the Quad Cities, but thank you very much for joining me. What are your final thoughts about tonight?
Looking at the final box score, one of the big differences I saw from this one, the Colonels were 6 of 14 with at least one runner in scoring position, which also doesn't count the walks that they picked up, including an RBI walk within the 8th. Lugnuts, 0 for 4. Now, the Lugnuts were able to get a lot of offense in terms of home runs, a couple with nobody on base, so of course that doesn't help your RISP, as some call it for short.
True.
And the other home run happening with a runner on first, that two-run blast by Schofield Sam, the pick to click, at least from the Lugnuts side, going into this game. There were certain other situations, if not brewing, potentially brewing. We have to go back to the one in the second. You have back-to-back singles to start the inning. Give the Colonels credit, Mikey Perez with a diving stop on a ground ball that could have been a single. He's able not just to make the close play to first, but the play to second, which kept the forced double play in order, which is just what the Colonels got off the bat of C.J. Rodriguez to end that inning. And then in that decisive eighth inning, a two-out rally in the making with back-to-back singles. Colby Thomas getting to third on the signal from Joshuan Wright. Remember that throw coming in on that play?
Yes.
Was situated where if that gets away any further from Ben Ross coming off the bag and making that low running catch, perhaps Thomas scores. Perhaps Wright himself moves into scoring position and puts a little more pressure on Colonels pitcher A.J. Labus in that situation. Well, said the line before, it felt like all the breaks in this game were going the Colonels' way, and that's it. Feels like something that holds up true to the end of this one. Lugnuts capitalized on some chances, but the Colonels did a better job of doing so on their end, and that's why they come away with the victory. You know, like anybody could talk about in a season like this, the Colonels are such a good baseball team.
They played very good ball.
And now I'm not even a Colonels announcer, so you can't say I'm biased in saying that this go around.
I mean, I could always say that you're biased. You're biased towards good food, towards Norway.
To music.
Yes. But in this case, we tip our caps to the Colonels. The best team in the Midwest League record-wise all year has been the Great Lakes Loons. And the Lugnuts have played the Loons very tight. In fact, have won 8 of the 15 meetings against them. On the other hand, things have gone the way of Cedar Rapids in this season series. They have now met up 9 times, and the Colonels are 7-2 against the Lugnuts. Let me make sure I get this right. Yes, 7-2 against the Lugnuts in the season series. And I think that speaks for itself, that they have found a multitude of ways to beat the Lugnuts in these games. We'll see if tomorrow proves any different. But here today, it's a 5-5 game going to the bottom of the 8th inning, and the Colonels found a way, and the Lugnuts could not come back.
You know, and you give good teams credit for doing good things. And, you know, and this is perhaps where I can bring some bias back in. As someone who was the Colonels' primary announcer from 2016 through 2021, having come in a year after the Colonels had a potential championship-clinching game in this very ballpark,
yes,
within that span of seasons, having two potential games to win it all at Quad Cities in 21, And for a franchise that hasn't won a league title since 1994, this is certainly a team that feels very capable of doing so, perhaps depending on which version of this team comes around in September, because that's always a big variable here in the minors.
Who's going to get called up? It's one of those things where I look down and I go, you know, I don't know the state of AA, but it would not surprise me if you grabbed a couple of these standouts and you said they deserve to play at the next level for the final month or so.
And then you also never know. Every once in a while, there's a case of somebody going down.
Yes.
Sometimes in cases that feel perhaps manipulative to try to win that.
Oh, but they are.
But there are other chances. Like, I want to say one of the recent Quad Cities title years, they had a major leaguer who they wanted to put on rehab assignment. And because of how deep the River Bandits were in the playoffs compared to everybody else, they may have been the only affiliate he could have had a rehab assignment.
Yes.
You never know what can come around at that time. So, for one, thinking about how long it's been for a championship and how close they've been, but especially for all my time with the Colonels, Brian Dinkelman being a part of the staff first as a hitting coach and then as a manager, with all the good teams he's had, if they do win a championship this year or some other year where he's still around, I'll feel so great about that for Dink, because he has been a great coach and a great manager, and certainly as a media relations person who got to work with him very closely, just a phenomenal person to work with as well. So if that is the ultimate fate for Cedar Rapids, for him especially, I would be very happy.
This meant something different in terms of broadcasting this game with you here in Cedar Rapids compared to broadcasting with you in Quad Cities. Cedar Rapids is a little bit, I mean, you were the voice here for years. It's understandable why they should be close to your heart and why the folks here are close to your heart.
You know, and when I think back to all the different connections I've had to the two current high A minor league teams in this state, you know, a lot of what I do nowadays is with the Quad Cities River Bandits in non-announcing roles, though it was great being on with you, of course, over the weekend.
Yes.
Spelling Kyle Kirchhoff for a few innings earlier within that series. You know, that's a spot where my brother Paul has had three different stints working for the organization, including now as the general manager, so certainly some connections there. But you think here to this team, and even more than that, this ballpark here in Cedar Rapids. You know, this is a place I went to as a fan on so many occasions. Back when the Brewers were loading up their minor league system, and they were affiliated through Beloit in the Midwest League, when you had your Ryan Braun and Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder, and then managed by the Brewer legend Don Money. When those teams would come here, my dad being from Milwaukee, being a Brewers fan, that's when we'd make most of our trips to come to games. We went to a game at the old ballpark when it was convenient before a flight trip we were making out of Cedar Rapids. You know, I can remember, say, dating back to one of your trivia questions from earlier in the series, Dallas McPherson,
yes,
Howie Kendrick, some of those good Angels guys who were playing here when we were coming to games as fans. And then the times where the Iowa Conference, as it was then known, moved its annual baseball tournament here and trying to cheer on the Wartburg College Knights to get back to the D3 tournament and hopefully to the D3 World Series, which also happens to be here in this very ballpark these days after a long stint in Grand Chute, where the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers also play. And then you have times here with Cedar Rapids. Bowling Green is a visiting announcer when my brother was actually working as basically the assistant to the regional manager, if you will, where he was assisting longtime general manager Scott Wilson in his role with the team. And we could have that reunion there. Then coming back here in 16 for a regular role as a home announcer. There's just so many good memories in this ballpark. So many good associations. This was actually the first time I was in this ballpark since my last game calling games specifically for the Colonels nearly 2 years ago. Kind of amazing to think that. And amazing, kind of like I talked at the beginning, seeing some of the things that have changed, but even more than that, some of the things that haven't. Having that sense of familiarity. Having this great view to broadcast from. Where, among other things, unlike our trip to the cities last week, where we can open the windows.
No air conditioning here, though.
Yeah, but we get a little breeze from the outside. We get our chance at foul balls. You know, a foul bunt would actually be a great one from up here, because you can get the angle if it's bad enough to clear over, and it isn't as hard coming back at you either.
Right.
So you got some options of that. I mean, there's just so many good connections and associations with this ballpark in particular, whether it's Colonels related or not. That alone was going to make it fun, regardless of who I'd be here with. But I got to do it here with you as well. And that's always been fun. Whether it was the couple innings that we had in the broadcaster exchange, Bowling Green
10 years ago.
You know, our time together last weekend, now our time tonight. Even just the times where we weren't on air together, but yes, of course, in our roles exchanging information. And as I remember, one time here 2 years ago, popping in, trying to tell you something during the stretch, and ultimately singing
yeah.
the seventh inning
we
stretch
sang
with
it together.
You. You know, just another good memory from this ballpark. I mean, this is a fun experience, and I'm amazed, kind of like I said when I was on with you Sunday. I hadn't even had the thought of potentially doing it this week. I was going to be happy just with the Quad Cities experience. But you had broached that post game, and I think even someone had written into you thinking, could this be a possibility? And I'm glad that the opportunity was available today. You know, in spite of the result, this is still a fun game to be a part of, a fun broadcast to be a part of, and perhaps somewhere down the line we can do this again.
Sounds good, Chris. Chris Klein-Hunschultz. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Again, your final. Cedar Rapids 7, the Lugnuts 5. And now, here's wishing you a terrific rest of your Thursday night from the city of five seasons. What's that fifth season for?
Enjoying all the other seasons.
Yes.
Divertido.
Have
fun.
A terrific night from Veterans Memorial Stadium. This has been Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts!